ಜಯ ಶುಪಾಲ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಚಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯ ಅಮೃತಿ ಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಚಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂದಪಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಗೆ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾ ಗುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನ ಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ All glories to Assembled Devotees, All glories to the Assembled Devotees, All glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Namami Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shemari Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamini, Namaste Saraswadevim Gauravani Prajarini, Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshadarini.
ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋಸ್ತವ ಜಾಯತೇ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಪಾಪ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಮಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿದರದಸ್ ಚಾತೇಷ್ವವಿನ್ಯಸ್ವರಾಂ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಾಯ ಆದಿಗವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂ ನಿಯಲ್ ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿ ಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಪೋ ವೃಷ ನಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಚಿತ ಕೈಲವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೆ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸತ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯಮರುದ್ಯತೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭೀತಲ್ ನಿಗಮಕಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿತಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾದಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುತಂ ತ್ರಿಪದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಃ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋತ್ಪತ್ತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇತವೇ ತಾವತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಹನುಭೇದಮಭೇದ ಕೃತ್ಯಂ ವೈವಾಹನೋ ವಿರಹಗಾಧರಮಾಜುಹಾವ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿದನ್ಮಹೃದಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತ ಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನುರೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರವೇಗಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಮದಿತಿದೇರ್ಷದಾಂತಮೋನ್ನಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣ ಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಮುಭಯಾನಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ನಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಳವಹಿನಂ ಕುಣಿದಾಧೃತಾನನೆಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಚಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭತಾ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೀಂ ಕನಿಕಾಪಿ ಕಾಪಿ ಕಾಪಿ ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ శ్రీమతీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పశ్చాత్యాదేశదారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నంద వ్రజ స్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశాం వ్యాసం హరియదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందర మందహాసం పదాలయేష మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారకా వేదవేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాంబురదో మమ. ఊగం కరోతి వాచాలం అంగం లంఘయదే గిరి యత్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమద్రాధికారే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద.
This 26th chapter is about Salsangam. Krishna is saying that association with the material world, association with the non-devotees, or association with Durjanam. Durjanam means so those who have no interest in spiritual life. Association with them will destroy one's spiritual life. Association with Sajjanam or devotees will elevate a person in spiritual life. This is the main talk subject in this chapter, in the 26th chapter. So, after Krishna has spoken in the earlier chapters, first about the through Bhitrugita, Krishna told us that how it is possible to get a control over the mind through the process of the inquiry, self-inquiry, and understanding the mind, and eventually freeing oneself from the mind, like the way Bhikshu has done. In the next chapter, Krishna has spoken about the Sankhya philosophy. Through Sankhyam, how one can free oneself from the Veda Buddhi, or Dvaidam from inside, and remove that from inside, and come to understanding that there is only one vastu, substance in this whole creation, that is Atma, spirit. Then in the last chapter, Krishna spoke about the modes of nature, how they operate in this world, and under the influence of the three modes of material nature, how we have we have been victimized by the modes, and unless and until one free oneself from the three modes, Krishna is saying, and turns into bhakti, that is another way of getting the control over the mind. So these three different ways Krishna has spoken, and all of them are important. There is nothing, one is better than the other. But relatively, this chapter is the easiest of all, the Sajjana Samsargam. Sajjana means devotees, or those who are absorbed in spiritual life all the time, serious about spiritual life. Their association, Krishna is saying, it will elevate a person without any effort. You don't have to put any effort, only the association is sufficient. With them, those who are always absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, in this way, Sajjanam. Sajjanam means those who are talking about Sata. Sata means Alma. So, Satsangam or Sajjana Samsargam is nothing but discussion all the time about spiritual life and about soul. And in this way, Krishna says one can easily go up in spiritual path. And he gave many examples in the 12th chapter, which included everything, khagaha, nagaha, so many things, and many examples Krishna gave. Gobis as example, and Jadayu as example, and Vritrasura as example, and so many others. So Krishna's point is, this chapter, which is the Sajjana Samsargam or Salsangam, through which how to get himself free from the mind. It's another process spoken here. After this, Krishna gives one more process which is called Kriya Yoga. And Kriya Yoga is the 27th chapter. So, one after the other, Bhikshu Gita, Sanghyam, and then Gunatrayam, three modes of material nature, and now Sajjana Samsargam, and finally Kriya Yoga. After that, Krishna stops all the instructions. And finally, the nature of the Absolute Truth is discussed in the 28th chapter, and simultaneously with that, Krishna also talks about the Bhakti. So, Jnanam Bhakti, 28th and 29th, with that, Ekadasha Skandam concludes. So, this is the way Krishna has structured Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, you will see, like we were talking about the last Friday, Krishna said that the Pururavas, the story of Pururavas. Pururavas is the example Krishna has chosen to present this importance of the Salsangam to us. Aila Samradimam Khadam, fourth verse. Aila Samradimam Khadam Ahagayata Brihachravaha Urvashi Virahan Muhyan Nirvirna Shoga Samyame. Aila Samradimam Khadam Agayata Brihachravaha Urvashi Virahan Muhyan Nirvirnam Shoga Samyamaha. Brihachrava, Aila Samrad, Urvashi Virahad Mukhyan, Shoga Samyamme, Nirvinna, Imam Gadam, Agayada. Krishna is saying that Pururavas, that great emperor, he was not even a king, he was even many kings were under him. So many, he was an emperor. That Pururavas, at one point in time, when he got separated from his, from Urvashi, how he became completely affected by that. And then he went back to the planet of the Gandharvas. Urvashi had been looked after by the Gandharvas. And afterwards, he came to his senses. Pururavas came to his senses. And then he sung a song, Krishna says. And that is called Aila Gita. So that Aila Gita, he says there that based on his own experience, it's not from the Shastram or anything. Simply out of his experience, he is saying this, that due to separation from Urvashi, that he was so affected by that. And he says that what's the point in living anymore? He has come to that stage. Totally dissatisfied. But then he says there that if a situation like that happens in life to anybody, unless one gets, and when one gets completely affected by or infatuated or completely carried away by the beauty of another person, either it is not only man's story, it's also a woman's story. Man to woman and woman to man, that relationship, that is the most difficult thing to break up. Because till the last moment, this relationship will go on. And it will drag us down. So therefore, as a forewarning here, Pururavas mentions there that it is only possible that unless there is Krishna's grace, we will not come to our senses when such a situation happens in life. Unless there is Krishna's grace. Because there is no possible, it's not possible to develop any sense of discrimination in that illusion. It is such a powerful illusion. That is why it is. This relationship with man and woman is such a powerful illusion. Krishna is saying, Pururavas is saying to us that unless one comes, has the grace of Krishna, he won't get free himself from that, or she will not be able to come out of it. And till one comes, that is what is called Vivekam. So, that is the point he makes mentioning here, that first thing he says, one attachment to any other opposite sex is, he says here, that is, cannot bring any, that means he is a Vishayi. Vishayi means one who attached to sense objects, Vishayam. He is called Vishayi. especially in this aspect, man-woman relationship. If that attachment is, if he lives in that attachment in this world, never any auspicious thing will come to him. He will never have an auspicious life in the future. And he says, look at my own story. Puridavasi is saying to us, what a great personality he was, and what a great status he had, and what all kinds of, he mentions here, what all kinds of unfortunate situation has happened in his life, he mentions. And all because of only one thing, due to attachment, asakti. That's the word he uses, asakti, attachment, because of that. Otherwise, how a great personality I was, Puridavas himself says about him. Because he was a great personality. And what am I now? He's thinking about himself. And he is feeling that illusion, what has got into his head. Tektu alpanam rajandintam nagna unmattavan rubaha vilavan anvaga jaye gore tishteti viklavaha. Tektu alpanam rajandintam nagna unmattavan rubaha vilavan anvaga jaye gore tishteti viklavaha. That this king was running after Urvashi, and he was as though he was intoxicated, in a state of intoxication. And he was naked, completely naked as well. He priye he ghore, he said. Ghore tishteri viklava. And he followed him in that way. So, practically like a mad person, he didn't have any clothes on him, and that he has forgotten, that he had no clothes on his body, and he was chasing him. And he is praying to her, don't leave me and go away like this. He was begging to her, he was begging to Urvashi like that. And he was crying and following after her, and when he started crying like this and chasing her, who is saying this? Puruvas, who is the emperor of the planet. It is his situation like this. And that king emperor, many, many kings were coming and paying their obeisances to him. It is that emperor who is saying this. And why Urvashi had come to Puruvas, if you ask that question, previously Urvashi had a curse that she had to come to the earthly planet and live with the human beings and take birth as a human in the human species. She had to take birth. And this curse was given to her by Mitravaruna. They gave this curse to her, and for that purpose, why he came at this point in time, why did she decide to come? Because she heard about Puruvas while she was living in the heavenly planets. People were glorifying about Puruvas' qualifications in the heavenly planets, talking about Puruvas there. And so Urvashi decided in that case, I'll go and stay with Puruvas for some time, and in that process I will also free myself from that curse he had from Mitravaruna. So two things. One reason, that Mitravaruna's curse, she wanted to free herself from that. And secondly, she wanted to, for that purpose, she was willing to spend some time with Puruvas. And Puruvas, she had heard about Puruvas' qualities and the glories in the heavenly planet. So, she heard that there is no other great emperor like Puruvas, his qualities. Very powerful. Plus also she heard that he was a very spiritually very powerful person. Spiritually very powerful person. Highly realized. That was her, that's what she heard about him. So when she heard all these things, that when what she heard about Puruvas, and so many people are talking about that, She felt it's not so bad to go and spend some time with Puruvas and get herself escape from that curse in that way. So when she came here, what she saw and what she experienced has shocked her. When she came here, she saw there that she came for that purpose, but when she got here, only then she realized what she thought about him and what she heard about him is not 100% the truth. That's what happened to her when she came here. Because she realized that he is very attached to senses, vishayi, shuddha vishayi, vishayi. And Urvashi understood this. That is what she said at that time, that kaman adrupto anijushan chullagan varshayamini navedayandir nayandir Urvashi akrishta chetanah. Kaman adrupto anijushan chullagan varshayamini navedayandir nayandir Urvashi akrishta chetanah. That this enjoyment with Urvashi, enjoying that, he was never satisfied with that. And completely bewildered by the beauty of Urvashi, due to that, many lifetimes, many years in his life, he didn't know how the nights have gone away. And he also didn't know how it was going to happen in the future. How it was going to happen in the future. So his mind was attracted by this, and he says that night and day I didn't know what happened, and many years have passed like this. And sometimes Puruvas says that he didn't know whether it was day or night. To that extent the jnanam has come to him. That's what happens, isn't it? When we know that it has come to illusion is like that, that we don't know whether it is day or night. That situation has happened to Puruvas. So Himshan says there, this story of Puruvas, which is comes in the ninth canto, that how lifespan, because life is running out all the time, is it not? Our span of life is going away. And because we have got absorbed in all useless things in this world, added to that, attachment to sense enjoyment. And what happened to Puruvas was this infatuation with Urvashi. So it is in the ninth canto this story will come, Puruvas story. Puruvas was the son of Buddha. And Sudhimnam, Buddha's son is Puruvas. You will hear the story of Sudyumna in that ninth canto. He had to live as one month man and 1 month as woman. And 1 month man, 1 month woman, in this way, it was a miserable situation, his life. And this has happened due to Lord Shiva's curse. This situation has happened. So, when this Sudyumna is a woman, he is a wife of Buddha. Buddha's wife he is. And when she is, her name is Ila at that time. When she, this Sudyumna, when he is a woman, he is Buddha's wife, and she is called Ila at that time. And that Ila's son is Puruvas. Buddha had a wife called Ila, and the son is called Puruvas. So Puruvas therefore is called Ila. Ila's son, Ila. Now, when Sudyumna is a man, he is a husband. He is a husband. And when he is a husband, he had a wife at that time. When when this same Sujumna, when he is a husband, 1 month he is a husband. At that time he had a wife. And he had children from that also. When he is also a father as well as a mother. He's a father and he is a mother as well. Both places he had, in both role, husband and the wife, he had children. So there when they go, the children will call him father. The other place when he goes, they will call him mother. Somebody was calling dad and somebody was calling him mom. So both, they were called like that. So in both ways he had children. So he had to stay 1 month as mother and 1 month as father, or 1 month as wife as a female and 1 month as husband, the male body. So that Ila was this Pururava's mother. And Buddha's father was Chandra, moon, isn't it? Father. Because of this impurity from both father's side and the mother's side, that is why Pururavas fell into this. Therefore, there was no Janma Shuddhi, no purity at the birth. That's what has happened to Pururavas. Why did this happen to Pururavas? Because of the lack of Janma Shuddhi. Janma Shuddhi means, I don't know whether you understand, that while taking birth from the parents, if the parents are not properly related in the way it should be based on the Shastram, then there is possibility that neither of them have come in the proper way into this world. Like a illicit relationship between the moon and Tara. Therefore, that father was born that way. So Buddha had no Janma Shuddhi. That followed, came to the next generation in Pururavas. That problem what Buddha had, because he had no Janma Shuddhi, came from an illicit relationship between moon and the spiritual master's wife, Tara. She was already married to Brihaspati. And he had a relationship with her, moon. So therefore that relationship is illicit relationship. From that relationship, Buddha was born. But that impurity of Buddha's relationship, Buddha's birth, that followed on to Pururavas as well. So from that side it came like this. On the other hand, this relationship between Sudhimna's unfortunate situation. Sudhimna was sometime a father, sometime a mother. Male, female. Again there is impurity there. So that impurity also came through Ila. When Sudhimna was Ila, through her it has come to Pururavas. So mainly due to impurity at birth. That's what it is saying here. So, but at the same time, although it was like that, this Pururavas had all the qualifications of their parents. Buddha was very powerful personality, very intelligent. That's where the word Buddhi comes from, Buddha. He is Buddhi. So Buddha was a great personality. At the birth itself, she has shown that. When Tara gave birth to this child, Buddha, there was an argument between moon and Brihaspati. This was actually moon's son. Moon's son is our Buddha. But Brihaspati, when he saw the child, and Tara, the mother spent time with Buddha. At that time she got pregnant from moon. And then the child was born. By then, Tara went back to Brihaspati. Brahma asked it, and the baby was born. When the baby was born, Brihaspati was initially hesitant to accept her back. But when he took her back, when he saw this child, Buddha, so intelligent, from the very birth, Brihaspati was a spiritual master of the demigods, isn't it? So intelligent person, Brihaspati knew the symptoms of a great personality. So when he saw the child, he wanted to have the child as his son. And then Tara was not saying anything, whose child it was. Tara kept quiet. So Buddha asked the mother, "You should speak the truth now and make this decision." That's how intelligent the child was. Child grew up very fast. And when he said that, Tara had to answer, and Tara said it is the son of the moon. So naturally, moon also wanted Buddha to take with him. He was claiming Buddha to be the sun, Brihaspati also wanted, but when Tara spoke like this, Brahma decided that the child should go with the father, with Chandra. So the moon's qualification, moon is greater personality, Chandra, all Chandra's personalities, qualifications came through to him, to Buddha. So Buddha was a great personality from both sides, from Chandra's side and Tara's side. So all that great qualities of both these personalities have come to Buddha as well, and those qualities have come to Purvaravas by birth. So the good things have also happened, but unfortunately this impurity at the birth has also affected. Just to show to us that in this life there are so many factors influencing our life in this world. Everything is not what we do and what we make the decision. There are so many factors behind our life in this world, and they will definitely show up when the time is right. And when it happens, there is no need to get baffled or puzzled about it, because those factors will influence very strongly. All these things are decided by the material nature. They have their own law, and that law will follow us. We are powerless about that. We can't do anything about it, these things. Just to show, just like prarabdham is that. Prarabdham comes like this. If prarabdham catches a personality like Pururavas, what chance has we got to be free from that? That's what it is in showing to us here. So that sun, Chandra's sun is Buddha. And Chandra was, as I said, Chandra has had this Buddha through Tara, isn't it? Tara was Brihaspati's wife. So spiritual master's wife, the disciple is having a child through the spiritual master's wife. All these things are also to indicate to us, we think that life in the heavenly planets are without problems. No. These problems, what we find here, all these problems are here as well, isn't it? The same problems exist in the heavenly planets also. Heavenly planets also are not free from all these things. So, although the sun has highly qualified a knowledge he had, both these things he had, good qualifications, good knowledge, even then, Janma Shuddhi was not there. In the birth, there was no purity there. So, because that qualification has come from the father. Father was not very good, was it? Moon. To go and have a relationship with the spiritual master's wife. So, and the mother is Ila. So, Ila was 1 month man, 1 month woman, isn't it? Changing all the time. What does that mean? It means that there is no steadiness, no vyavastha. No vyavastha. Continuously changing, 1 month man, 1 month woman, in that way. Pratyagobara vastuvino. That means, if a person is like that, a 1 month man, 1 month woman, all his activities also will be like this. No vyavastha, no steadiness in anything. That situation will happen, isn't it? So, what that means is, in that situation, you won't have a happy life in this world, nor after leaving the body. After leaving Iham or Param. Neither in this world, nor after leaving this world, you will have a proper life. And this is what has happened to Pururavas also. So that is why it is generally said that both father and mother must have good purity, and that will have its effect on the children also. Only then child will also will have that purity. So, so he happened to be the had to take birth of parents who had no purity in them. So therefore the son also did not have that purity. It has affected him. And that is what has caused this attachment to Urvashi in this way. And to show to us clearly that how that will affect. To show to us clearly how that will affect. If there is no purity in the father or the mother, any one of them had a situation like this, then it will come back to the child. It will affect the child as well. So, because he was attracted by Urvashi, otherwise how Puruvas, emperor means status-wise he is big in this world. And then, not only that, he was also spiritually very educated person. And father is Buddha. So many places, so many good qualities had come to him. But such a great person has fallen into this situation. Into this situation. That is what this Bhagavatam is saying, teaching us this. So, and he has gone crazy, mad after her, this Urvashi. So, that is why, like we have Brahma Sutram, Vedanta Sutram, and Yoga Sutram and all, in a similar way, Bhagavatam is making fun of Puruvas. Shuka Brahmarshi is saying, he also had a Sutram, only 5 Sutrams, he says here. What are they? It says here, Aho Jaye. Aho jaye tishta tishte. That his attachment was such that he could not stay away from Puruvas for a minute. And aho jaye tishta tishta ghore. 5 words. That was this sutra. Puruvas sutram was aho jaye tishta tishta ghore. See, vilavan means to cry. Bilavannanvaga jaye ghore tishtedi viklavaham. In the 5th verse, you will see there. Tektu alpanam brajandimtam nagna unmattavan rupaha. Bilavannanvaga jaye ghore tishtedi viklavaham. Aho jaye tishta tishta ghore. He is saying, these 5 words was his suktam. Like a Mahamantra for him. That was his Mahamantra. Always chanting. Puruvas was chanting. Aho jaye tishta tishta khore. So, saying to her, you are a very cruel person. Saying to Urvashi. And don't leave me alone. Like this, he was crying like this. So, these 5 suktam, he was always crying, singing this, and running after Urvashi. But even though he chanted this regularly, there was no effect. Then how did they come out of it? If a man gets into that situation, or a woman gets into that situation, it's terrible. Then there is no escape route, he's saying. And how did Vairagyam come to him? That's the next question. One stage, Urvashi herself felt sorry for him, seeing his situation. And he says here, Karaval Padataadida. If you look at the 11th verse, he says, how Urvashi was like this. Kastasya anubhavasyal tyeja ishatvam evava yonvangam chamstriyam yandim. Karaval padataadida means these donkeys, when they fight with somebody, they won't fight with the front legs. They got 4 legs, you know, hands, but the 4 legs, the front 2 legs, they won't fight with that. They will turn their back and kick you from the back leg, kick you with the back leg. You remember this? In the Lord Balaram's pastimes also, that Dhenugasura, he was a donkey. He came and he kicked with his back leg on Balaram's chest. Not Balaram's chest. Dhenuga kicked with his back leg. So that is their nature. All donkeys are like that. They are so courageous, they'll turn their back on you and they'll kick you with the back leg. So, similarly, Urvashi had kicked him like this with her leg. And still he won't leave her. So, if you ask a question, can a man be in that situation? It means avyakhradattam. In the Shastram, the word used is avyakhradattam. If you ask that question, that Urvashi has treated her to such an extent that even after that, a great personality like Puruvas, who controlled the whole planet and powerful person, And he was willing to tolerate that. What does that indicate? It indicates to us that Urvashi had that practically he was completely surrendered to her, which is not a good thing for Puruvas to happen. And but still, due to attracted by Urvashi's beauty, he tolerated all that. Just to show to us how weak he was, how he didn't have any spiritual strength inside. He has lost that thing, isn't it? So, that's something difficult to understand, but sometimes difficult to explain also. But the only thing, we have to see it like this. When Ayla says this, Puruvas is saying about his own situation, what has happened to him. Because in that illusion, he did not understand what was going on. Anything he was willing to tolerate because of that illusion. When he came out of the illusion, he realized, what is my situation in this world? Who am I? And who is Urvashi? Where is my situation? Who am I? He started asking this question. And then at one point, Puruvas says a song he sings. When he came out of that illusion, and he says here that in eight verses, verse from 7 onwards, 7 to 14, all is the song Puruvas is singing about his own stupidity. How stupid I have become, he is saying, ignorant I am. Of my own weakness, he is exposing it and telling the world, I used to think I am a strong, great personality, but how weak I am, that in front of a woman I had to come to this situation. I am a man, I am Puruvas. I have forgotten all that, who I am. And I have fallen into this condition. That is what he is saying here. Aila vacham aho me moha visaram kama kashmala chetasaham devi agrihida gandasya nayukhanda ime spradaha. Aho me moha visaram kama kashmala chetasaham devi agrihida gandasya ayukhanda ime spradaha. Because of lusty desires in me, I have fallen into this illusion because of the lust inside. And when Urvashi embraced me and held her hands around my neck, and when she embraced me, I was not even conscious of time. To that extent, I have fallen into this ignorance. He is acknowledging that. Because of my desire, the lusty desires in me, he says that I was never satisfied and I wanted to be with Urvashi all the time. And just to enjoy with Urvashi alone has become my goal of life. And I spent my whole lifespan in this way. I didn't know how the days were coming and going. And at one point, because I was attracted by Urvashi, therefore, when Vairagyam comes to him, at one point, Vairagyam comes to him. He comes to his senses, in other words. It's a powerful illusion in life, in a man's or a woman's life. When he gets attracted by the material happiness rising from the relationship with woman, or for the man, either way, it's an illusion in our head, isn't it? And to come out of that illusion and to remain out of that illusion, because once you are in that illusion, then spiritual life takes a back seat. It will go behind. So, when Vairagyam, how did Vairagyam come to him? Urvashi felt sorry for him, seeing his attachment. And how this is called Paradhinada. Paradhinada means that a man must have that strength inside not to get victimized by any of these things. So she showed some compassion to him and she told him that when she was leaving, that once a year I will come and you can see me at that time. And a particular river bank, Saraswati River, that's where she told him that she should come and see her. And you can spend a week with me at that time. And you can spend some time with me for a week in that way. So every year Urvashi told Puruvas that you can spend a week with me, I'll come and give you darshanam for you, says to her. And six children were born from that relationship. Puruvas had six children from her. So Urvashi says to him that if you still want to be with me, you take the shelter of Gandharvas, because Gandharvas are my protectors. If they allow me, I could come, but Gandharvas look after me. So if you remember in the second canto, there is a verse there. Where, what does it say in the second canto? Where it says there, for various things, for example, if you want wealth, you worship a particular demigod. If you want beauty, you worship a particular demigod. If you want similarly happiness in man having a beautiful wife and to have a good happy life with a woman, in that case you should worship particular person. Like that, there are so many things mentioned in the second canto. And finally there it says akamo sarvagamo va mokshagamo udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeda purusham param. Also, Shukha Brahmarshi says to Parikshit that if you have no desires, or if you have all other desires, still you should worship Krishna. Purusham Param. Yajeda Purusham Param. So there, separately, so if you want to have association with beautiful women, worship Gandharvas, says there in the second canto. And similarly, here Urvashi says to Puruvas that take the shelter. If they desire, then they can hand me over to you. And so what did Puruvas do? Puruvas performed sacrifices to please the Gandharvas. There are sacrifices mentioned in the Vedam to please all these great personalities. To please Sri Parvati for Dambatyam. Dambatyam means good married life. To please Sri Parvati. Vidya, for knowledge. To please Lord Shiva. Like this, so many things are mentioned. Similarly, to have an association with good women, beautiful women, to please the Gandharvas. Sacrifices to please these great personalities, they are mentioned in the Vedam. Puruvas performed a lot of these sacrifices to please, because he is a king, he is an emperor, he has got all the facilities, wealth, qualified people to do these sacrifices for him. So he utilized all of them, used his wealth, and performed several sacrifices to please the Gandharvas. And in that way, he performed this and he went to the Gandharvas planet. So, and after living with the Gandharvas for some time, he understood that this is all not a big thing. He also realized, everybody thinks what we say when you are on this side of the river, you think the other side is green, isn't it? That's all it is. That our Puruvas thought that after going to the heavenly planets and living with the Gandharvas in their association, he also started realizing this is not all that big thing what he thought in his head. So at that time, Vairagyam came to him. He got the detachment came to him. And after he came to that state of renunciation, detachment, he is advising this world what he had to say. He is advising all of us after he came to that realization. That is what it is. He says here that Aho me moha vistaram, 7th verse. Aho me moha vistaram kama kashmala cheta saha devya grihida gandasya ayukhanda ime spradaha. Aho me moha vistaram kama kashmala cheta saha devya grihida gandhasya ayukhanda ime spradaha. How sad it is, he says. Ahomi mohavistaram. Look at the power of the illusion in which I was living. And due to Brahmam, moha kashmala cheta saha, that due to that illusion in my head, that life is the mind, he is looking at talking about his own mind, the Brahmam or Brandi inside. To be under illusion, isn't it? Remember the four things we have. That tendency to commit mistakes, propensity to cheat, to be under illusion and imperfect senses. This is living entity, jiva. So when one of them became powerful, like illusion became powerful, he's saying, now he's realizing it, in what an illusion I was living about this thing called Urvashi. I spend my life in this way. And that means Mohavistaram, it is called Mohavistaram, the extension of the illusion in me, he says. Illusion was so powerful and it was extended to such a level that Mohavistaram means extension of the illusion. All what he is seeing is Urvashi's beauty, nothing else. He couldn't see anything else. Death is waiting there, not forgotten that completely. That's what he's talking about. Then, therefore, that emotion that built up inside, and he's saying, kama kashmala chetasaha. So, because of kamam, the lusty desires, my consciousness has become totally impure, and whoever falls into this situation, their destiny will also be like mine, he says. Their destiny will also be like mine. So, because of that, my mind is completely got polluted, impure. And such a person, it is not possible, it is never possible to experience Krishna. For a person who has fallen into this illusion, it is not possible for such a jiva to experience Krishna. And because when this inside is filled with thoughts of Urvashi, where is the question of self-inquiry? Where is the question of awareness of who I am? Because you are identifying in your mind with another material body, isn't it? And that body, remember yesterday we talked, three modes of material nature it is. And if the mind has gone after another material body, that means it is filled with the Rajogunam and Tamogunam. That's what he's saying here. And that mind will not go inward looking. That means it's very much external. It can never go inward looking. So such a person will never get this self-realization or realized experience of the Atma inside. And because that discrimination power is not coming to him, is not happening to him. That's why he says here that word, kama kashmala chetasaha. Due to kamam, the mind has become kashmalam. Mind has become kashmalam. So, due to excessive lusty desires inside, it's completely become polluted. The mind has become polluted. And if that grows up, grows big in the mind, then that is referring to there, devya grihita gandasya. When Urvashi was embracing me with both her hands around my neck, he says here, how much happiness I was experiencing at that time. Just to show to us that the happiness that comes from the body is not happiness, but it is a kind of illusion that it has created. And he's saying that every day has passed in this way, and I did not know time was running out. Time was running out, and I have forgotten that. That's what he's saying. Naham veda bhinarmukta suryova dvipito amaya mushido varshabhuganam vadaha nigadanyudaham. Naham veda bhinarmukta suryova dvipito amaya mushido varshabhuganam vadaha nigadanyudaham. Then, what main thing he says here, that I did not know the sun was rising and the sun was setting. He was not even aware of that. And I couldn't remember, just like a person who is drunk, who is intoxicated, such a person, he does not know anything, isn't it? When he is drunk, only thing, he'll become very friendly to you. Sometimes it happens that, otherwise he does not know what goes on. Sometimes you will see when they are very depressed, they won't look at you. But when they got something inside, then they will be so friendly. And they will want to talk to you, they want to they show all kinds of friendliness. So, similarly, here, A person who is drunk, he does not know what's going on in this world. He's completely unaware of anything, isn't it? Purudeva says, that was my state of mind. That was the state of mind. So he says, whether the sun is shining, or it's daytime, or it's nighttime, I didn't know that, he says. And completely I was absorbed in Urvashi, and how long I have spent my life in this way. I was not aware of how much lifespan has gone away in this situation, he says. Aho me alma sammoho yen alma yoshidam kridaha krida mrigas chakravarti naradeva shikhamani. Aho me alma sammoho yen alma yoshidam kridaha krida mrigas chakravarti naradeva shikhamani. Naradeva shikhamani. So, such a person, he says, he is called Naradeva Shikhamani. Puriravasi says like that. Because I am the king of kings, isn't it? Emperor. King of so many other kings who are under Puriravas. And they pay their dues to him. In other words, he was so wealthy. All the kings under him, they had to pay what they call as the dues to him. And they come and pay their respects to him. They are taking shelter of me. And I am in that position. Naradeva Shikhamani, he was Kridam Chakravarti, he was. Chakravarti means emperor. I was in that situation. And look at my situation now. They are all paying obeisances to me. They come in front of me and pay their respects to me. And I go and pay obeisances to Urvashi. He says, what a situation have I ended up with? And this should never happen to a man, he says. Now, don't say that Puriravas is a male chauvinist or anything. That's not what it is saying. What he's saying is that if a situation happens to a man like this, he will not come out of it and think about the real purpose of life. It's not any other reason. And the same thing applies to women also. Here, because it's Puriruva's story, it is spoken in terms of the man. But it is because if this attachment builds up inside, one day we will realize it, that a golden opportunity Krishna has given to us in this human body to realize the self, that opportunity has lost. That is why he is saying like this. So, this should not happen to anybody. Puriruva says like this. So, whoever hands over his own body to a woman, and all their destiny will be like this, he says. All their destiny will be like this. What is that? Kridamarga Chakravarti. To me, he says, I am the emperor. Everybody else is accepting me as an emperor. And they come and they pay their respects to me. Then they see me, they are saying that the emperor is coming. And they are showing great respect and seriousness in their approach. But inside me, at that time, Urvashi is inside. Urvashi is inside me. Kridamagas Chakravarti Naradeva Shikhamani, he says there. So, what is the situation here? Puriruva says, if a person has come to this situation, what future has he got? What future has he got? That's what he's saying here. That sabarichadama alpanam hitvatranam iveshwaram yandim sriyam janyagamam nagna unmattavad dhruvan. That sabarichadam alpanam hitvatranam iveshwaram yandim sriyam janyagamam nagna unmattavad dhruvan. That what is the position of an emperor and what is his opulences, an emperor's opulences? Emperor means a huge palace, huge facilities, isn't it? Everything very, very opulent. Elephants, in those days chariots, horses, so many things as the symptom of a great emperor. And me, with all this wealth behind me, with all these power, authority in his hands, and so many great kings coming and paying their respects to him, I am in that situation. And me, what am I doing? I am running after this Urvashi. Feeling himself, he is talking about himself in a very, insulting himself for his own mind. Then he is saying like this, and I ran after her saying, please don't leave me. And I was taking her shelter. Where is my seriousness? He says. I was such a serious and great personality and respected by the rest of the world and the kings in this world. And me, what's my situation? I'm totally dependent on this Urvashi for living in this world. Look at my miserable situation. He's saying about himself. He's saying, look at my own miserable situation. And he's talking about himself. He says, think about this, that in spite of all the wealth I had, what's the use? And she looks at me like a worm, like a worm. And that's how she treats me. And at the same time, all others are giving me a lot of respect, but Urvashi is treating me like a worm. And he says here, that kudastasya anubhavasya tejam ishatvame eva yuvanyagacham sriyam yandim karaval padatadidaham. Kudasasyanubhavasyal teja ishatvame vava yonyogacham sriyam yandim karaval padatadidaham. Where is her attachment for me? What's my situation? And what a huge difference between us. And I have forgotten about my own. The emperor like him, you would expect him that seriousness in him, isn't it? Or that respect for that position, what he was holding. And you would expect that from him, that he is in that great position in this world. But instead of knowing the position what I was holding, I have forgotten that and I have started following her. And I was running after her like a donkey, he says. And she was kicking me with her back leg. Karaval padatadida. And did I leave her? Still, I went after her, chasing her. And what a situation I have ended up with. Puruvas was a Kshatriya king, wasn't it? Which means that Kshatriyas generally are very, very proud people. And they also, particularly Puruvas situation, as a powerful Kshatriya, so many other Kshatriya kings were under him. That means he must have been very, very serious person to keep control over so many others, kings as well. And what is my situation? Only he understands what he is talking about. We may not probably be able to understand that. Kim vidyaya, kim tapasa, kim tyagena shudenava, kim vivittena maunena, stribiriyasya manohridam. Kim vidyaya, kim tapasa, kim tyagena shudenava, kim vivittena maunena, stribiriyasya manohridam. He says here, what's the use of education? Vidya. And he says that somehow or the other, with a lot of effort and strength, that you have come out of this. When they say education means not material education, they're talking about spiritual realization. That's what their education means. Freedom from avidya. So after all, with a lot of effort, Puruvas was a great personality. He had good advisors for him. With all their help and good teachers, and many, many great rishis were in that parampara, has helped him. So with all their help, I had managed to come out of this avidya in me, and I have got this brahmavidya. I have learned this brahmavidya. And I have performed a lot of austerities and penances to get this stage. And I have sacrificed a lot for that. I have studied the Vedam for this purpose. And I also had been sitting in a lonely, secluded place and engaged in tapas, austerities I performed in that way. If you have managed to get all these things done, imagine that. But if such a person, if his mind gets attracted or captivated by the beauty of a woman, then what will happen to him? That's what Puruvas is asking us. Suppose you got Brahmavidya in you, you got knowledge of the self, learned from Shastrams and from other great rishis, and then you have also performed a lot of anushtanam, sadhana, on your own tapasya, and you have sacrificed a lot in life, studied the Vedam and Shastram, performed austerities and penances in secluded places, and that means you have strength in you, spiritual strength in a person. And if that person finally gets attracted to a woman and falls down, what is his destiny? Puridas is asking us, what is the situation? That is what the word, sthribhiriyasya manohridam. Sthribhiriyasya manohridam. That his mind has been stolen by a woman, and therefore, then whatever he does, if that happens, then whatever he does, it's all a waste of time. It's all a waste of time. In other words, he's destroyed himself. So, that is what Puriravas is saying. He has learned from his own life, and I've come to this situation now, what I am. Puriravas is saying this. You have to imagine that what is Puriravas' position. Only then you can understand what he is saying. He is not an ordinary person, is it not? He's not an ordinary person. He's a very, very powerful emperor, and who had that seriousness in life and knew what life is, coming in the tradition of great personalities as well. Highly intelligent because of Buddha's and Ila's son being. But this unfortunate one incident happened like this in his life. Captivated or infatuated by the beauty of Urvashi, he fell. That was his misfortune. All other ways, all other sides, he was highly qualified, highly intelligent, knowledgeable, and knew what is the goal of life, to come out of material life once for all. Like all other great personalities in the Bhagavatam 9th canto, the kings who lived a very good life in this world with all the comforts and happiness, but at right in time when they knew that death is going to happen at some point, they threw away everything, walked into the forest, and performed austerities and penances and went back to the spiritual world. They were such great personalities. Puriravas comes in the same tradition, isn't it? But this unfortunate incident happened in Puriravas' life, and that took away a lot of his lifetime. That is why he's lamenting. What a misfortune I had to waste my life like this. And he's telling us, such a situation should not happen to you, and you should look after yourself from a situation like this. And therefore he is saying the 13th verse. Swarthasya kovidam dhingmam murgham panditamaninam yoham isharadam prapya astrebir kho karavarjidaha. Swarthasya kovidam dhingmam murgham panditamaninam yoham isharadam prapya astrebir kho karavarjidaha. That I have become a great emperor, but I have become like the bulls and the donkeys. Bulls and the donkeys. And not knowing what is the goal of life, and still I am thinking I am educated. And in those days, these personalities, they will only consider educated, not that they went to which school or college or anything, only if there is realization of the self. That was the qualification of the education. Education was, somebody is educated, that means that that person is spiritually advanced. Knowledge, he has the knowledge of who he is. That is education means. Not all get all the degrees from the uni and saying that you are educated, like today, but he'll be living like an animal. But that is not considered education. Education means one who has knowledge of the self. So he's saying here that what is their destiny, he says, why did I take birth as a human body? And why did I come here? Why am I living here? Without knowing all these things, I have cheated myself. And I am a stupid panditamaninam. And I think that I was knowledgeable. But where is my knowledge? What did I study? And all these things, stupid things he is saying like this. And I spend my life engaged in satisfying Urvashi. And how silly and foolish I am. And even though I've taken birth like this, I'm like a donkey or a bull, he says like that. That I'm completely affected by the relationship. And why did this happen to me? Purirava says, only because of my own mothada. Mothada means stupidity. He says, because my mind was not strong enough. I didn't have the proper discriminative power in me. And that is sad, he says. Sevado varshabhoganme urvashya adharamratam natrupyatyalpabhukamo vanni ahujabher yatham. Sevado varshabhoganme urvashya adharamratam natrupyatyalpabhukamo vanni ahujabher yatham. Now, so many verses Pururavas is telling us about man-woman relationship. Please take this. It is applicable to man. It's applicable to woman as well. From both sides. For both of them. Pururavas has said these things about himself. You have to see what Krishna says after this. About this. Krishna puts it very bluntly on our face. If you get attracted by this thing called relationship, man-woman relationship, Krishna says, forget about spiritual life. There will be no spiritual life after that. That is so strong is the warning at the end of this chapter. Never Krishna has spoken so strongly about anything else in the Bhagavatam, like the way Krishna has spoken about this attraction for man and woman. Both man and woman. It's not only man is responsible, woman is... No, man is responsible, woman is also responsible. Both of them, he says there, if you are attracted to each other on a bodily level, and if you want to live in that life, Krishna says, don't worry about spiritual life then. That's how he mentioned that. We'll come to that later. So, he says here that many, many years I served Urvashi. I served Urvashi. And I was attracted by her bodily features. And I was thinking that I have never seen beauty like this. Beauty like this, he says. And it never went away from my mind. It was always thinking like that. That, he says that, just like in the Vanni Ahudi Biryata, Vanni means Agni or fire. In fire you offer the Ahudi. Ahudi, that, and what will happen, just like you offer the ghee into the fire, the ghee will start burning, the fire will start getting bigger and bigger, isn't it? So, in a similar way, more and more I was getting attracted, I was getting completely more attached to her. The more I was attracted to Urvashi, I was getting more attached to her. Similarly, if you are thinking that, you can control your sense gratification by controlling the senses in this way, that is not going to work. Because if you engage the senses in gratification, sense gratification, then what will happen is that you will get victimized by the senses. You will never be able to come out of it. Because that is called, he mentions here, natrupyat alpabhu kamo vani ahudibir yatha. Vani ahudibir yatha. Because it is a vyamaham. Vyamaham means it's a completely an illusion in our mind. The more and more you enjoy any senses, the more and more the senses will get agitated. And once the senses get agitated, then you will never be find it very difficult to come out of it. The intelligent thing is that all these gratification through the senses is mithya, is false. And finally, they will bring distress to us. They will bring distress to us. To realize that within oneself and leaving them behind and coming out is called a discrimination. It's called discrimination. I could not do it. Pururava says, I could not do it. Or it didn't happen to me, he says. So, these eight verses, what Pururava is talking about up to now, is what is known as how vairagyam must come to a person. From his point of view, he is giving an advice to all the men and all the women that if vairagyam does not come from Pururava's experience, he is reciting. Because for Pururavas to this such a thing to happen is a big fall for him. Looking at his position, it's a big fall for him. Ordinary people, that doesn't matter, isn't it? Everything is okay with them. So, doesn't matter. We also say that, oh, I just fell down. It's an accidental fall down, they say. It's an accidental thing. So it's all. Or then we say, after falling down, we say, oh, at the time when I was preaching, I was situated in the proper way. What did they say? They say that this is the kind of explanations we give for that. They say at the time of when the time, sometimes when they ask them that, look, the kind of situation you have been preaching such big things in your life all these days. Now that you have fallen down and you come to this situation, he says, no. When I was preaching at that time, he says, I was in a position of good standing. That's the word they use. At that time. At the time of preaching, he was in good standing. Not now. At that time, when I was preaching, I was in good standing. This is the explanation for that. That doesn't fly in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam doesn't accept all these kind of explanations. But in the modern world, that's acceptable. They think it's okay. But it's not okay. Pururavas is telling us that if this has got inside and you have fallen down, then all your so-called purity or so-called realization is all bogus. That's what he's saying. You're talking about your realizations and how pure you are. You're presenting to the world so many big things about yourself. And then suddenly you go and fall and victimized by like this. So he's saying here that such a thing should not happen. That is why that it didn't happen to me. And therefore, when a big personality falls down, that is a big fall for him. From a position of Pururava's position was such that when he falls down, what will happen? That's how it will happen. Then the world will look at him in this way. Everybody will think badly about him, isn't it? Pururava's standing in the society, Pururava's reputation, all that gone. All that's gone. And that's what Pururavas is feeling, that why did this happen to me? That's what he's saying here. After saying this, these 8 verses about Vairagyam, in 10 verses he says how that discrimination must come at the right time in the mind. So, Pumschalya Vahirdam Chittam Konyo Mochayidam Prabhum Prabhu Atmarami Sharamrade Bhagavandam Adokshajam. Pumschalya Vahirdam Chittam Konyo Mochayidam Prabhu Atmarameshwaramrade Bhagavandam Athokshajam. Atmarameshwaram Athokshajam Bhagavandam Hrude Pumshalyam Abhagadam Chittam Kaha Anyaha Mojaidum Prabhu Bhavadi. Says here, Pumshali Chittam. That a woman whose mind is always moving from one person to another, And if you are captivated by her mind, who can protect you? He says here. Or in other words, a man who has got a mind like that, whose mind is looking for sense enjoyment from one person to another, who can protect him? Nobody can protect him. That's what Pururavas is saying. So, in such situation, except Krishna, who is Almarama, is it not? Almarama. Krishna had 16,108 wives, but Krishna is Almarama, always deriving the pleasure from the self. That is Krishna's position. And Krishna had all that relationship with the gopis, and many people talk about Krishna, but Sudeva Goswami mentions about Krishna at that time. What is Krishna's position, isn't it? So only Krishna, who is Almarama, only such a person can save you from that situation. There is no doubt about it. So, actually, such a miserable situation should not happen in life. Should not. What happened to Pururavas should not happen to anybody. Here, one point we have to keep in mind. What is that point? Point is this. Here it is spoken in terms of men. Therefore, you should not think it is only applicable to men. But instead, here, it includes both, not only men, as well as women. Warning to both men as well as women. Because if we get stuck in any of these, either man or woman, if we get in this situation, then spiritual life is doomed. It's gone. It's not possible to make any progress after that. That means whole life is gone then. It has happened to so many people, is it not? So many people, it has happened. That is why. And this experience can happen to man or to woman. And now you may say this problem, that is it Urvashi's fault that Pururavas fell down? No, it's not. It is only due to the weakness of Pururavas. You can't blame Urvashi for that. Because actually what's happening is, he says here, that not that attracted by Urvashi, his own Pururava's mind is finding beauty in something. That's all it is. It is a mind that is cheating you inside. That is what Pururavas is pointing out to us here. That this beauty is such a thing. Pururava started seeing here that you can see a particular, for a man, another woman. He starts thinking that she is very, very beautiful. She is very, very beautiful. And she gets attracted. Where is the attraction? Attraction is within himself. He is seeing like that within himself. So if we do not keep our own mind properly trained and controlled, this thought can happen to anybody by seeing another man or woman. A man or woman, this can happen. So depending on the balance of mind, if one has kept his mind under control with proper education. Education means proper knowledge and proper discrimination, and properly studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, from there you will get that strength to keep the mind under control. So if it is not there, that control, that is why, because we have not taken Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam properly and the Rishi's instruction seriously, therefore this kind of thoughts comes in, that somebody is beautiful and gets attracted to that person. There are examples for this. For example, a male dog, when it sees a female dog, it feels excitement. It feels excitement. It runs after the female dog, a male dog, isn't it? But if a man sees a female dog, he doesn't feel any attraction. Doesn't feel any attraction. So, or any sexual feelings or excitement in his own mind. Man doesn't feel that. Only a male dog sees a female dog. The male dog feels excited and runs after the female dog, isn't it? So man won't run after a female dog. Similarly, if you look at a bull, when it sees a cow, then it can have some sexual feelings or excitement inside. And it may run after the cow. The bull may run after the cow, or cow may run after the bull also. So, but a woman, if she sees a bull, she doesn't feel any excitement or doesn't get affected by that. The same emotion doesn't happen. So what does that teaching us? It is teaching us that in a particular circumstances only, that when a man or woman has his own mind is gone out of control, then it's creating this situation. That means if he has not kept his mind under proper control, therefore this problem has come. Purely it is an activity of the mind. So instead, if he had kept his mind under, or she had kept her mind under control, then this problem would not happen and will not happen. That's what it means. So first thing is to be careful not to create such a situation first. Sahajari means not to create a situation in such a way that the mind does not get excited or emotional about it. And not to say that, oh, she is the cause of my fall down. People say like that. It's because of her that I fell down. That's no excuse. That's not the reason. And man will say like this, and the woman, man says that she, because of her only I fell down. And the woman says, because of him I fell down. So, suppose both of them, both these statements are equally false, or equally false. So, sometimes they say like that, that in some family they say, my son has gone very bad because the next door, in the next house, next to us, that there is some trees where they tap the toddy. Toddy means alcohol, kind of alcohol. They take it from the palm trees and the coconut trees, everything. They can create this alcohol. And so in the next door, the mother is saying, my son has become a drunkard because of those two trees there. Because there's so much alcohol, it's coming from that tree. My son gets attracted, goes and drinks, and he's blaming the tree for that. So similarly, it says like this, that so he goes there, buys it and drinks it. So is it the fault of the two trees there? Can't blame the tree for that, is it not? And the child, the son of this lady goes there and buys it and drinks it. So that is why this has happened. Around us in this world, there will be so many different people. That so next to that house, there were other houses as well. None of them were going there and buying the toddy and drinking. Only this lady's son was going there, buying the toddy and drinking it, and he got become a drunkard because of that. Others did not have any problem. So why did this happen? Because he didn't keep his mind under control. So practically you can see, depending on your own discrimination inside, that is why this situation has happened. That's why this, and nobody else can protect us from this. We need to have our own control on ourselves. Kama kashmala cheta saha. So, nobody else can save us in that situation. Everyone has on their own, has to protect oneself from this situation happening in life. So, then people will ask this question, oh, that's mostly spoken in the modern world. Is this not a natural thing to get attracted? As far as they are concerned, it's a natural thing. A man getting attracted to the woman, a woman get attracted to the man. Is it not a natural thing, they say? How can we take it away? It's a natural thing. Because nature is created, it's like that. People who ask that question, they are people who are not very refined, who are very much in the lower levels. Pragrada means very impure persons. Very impure persons, they ask that question. Because if you look at the world, you will see there were many, many great personalities who lived throughout life as brahmacharis, maishtika brahmacharis, and spent their whole life in that way. And there are people still like that, even today. But today, a lot lesser than before. In the past, there were many more. And there are many more people like that. So, so, therefore, they are the proof that this desire, what we call as natural desire, is not something that cannot be checked. That cannot be checked. So, but, suppose it comes, it comes to everybody. This desire comes to everyone. If it is like that, the right thing to do is to live a life in married, in the householder life. And that is the injunction from Shruti. Vedam says that that if there is a desire like that which cannot be resisted or checked, controlled, then in that situation, Shruti says marriage is the solution to that problem. And Vedam says that that garhasyam or householder life, that is a very pure thing. The householder life, as the way Vedam has spoken, and if you follow that path, it's a very, very pure thing, provided you follow that rule strictly. So, and suppose there's a couple living that life, as spoken in the Vedic literature, one who is executing his grahastha life in that way, and he will never fall down. If he lives according to that principles of garhasthyam, grahastha ashramam, if one lives according to the Vedic injunctions, he will not fall. That is what he is saying here. And that such people will definitely get elevated. But in that case, he has to live according to the Vedic injunctions, which means they should take Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously in their life. In their life. It should be based on the Shastram. And with that understanding, if they live in this world, and both husband and wife, they look at upon each other in the Jiveshwara Bhavam, and if they behave properly and transfer that samskaram to their children also, and executing their karmam in this world in that way, without going against the principles of dharmam, and very with a limited way associate each other only when it is necessary, what is called in the Shastram as hrudugamanam. And suppose in that way the garhasthyam, householder life, is carried out, then it will not be a fall down. There were people like that in the olden days. There were many, many people like that who lived in the householder life and got liberated. Who lived in the householder life and got liberated. So you can see here whether there were people who lived purely as brahmacharis throughout their life and they escaped from here by living that life properly. And then there were householders also who lived a proper householder life and left this world without living in that proper state what Krishna mentions about householder life. So, unfortunately, what has happened is now in the modern world, that stage is gone. Therefore, there is no garhasthyam now anymore. That relationship has all changed, is it not? So, therefore, we are very much like, according to the eyes of the Shastram, if you look at our own household life, we are very much a pragratam, very crude way of life. And practically, Prabhupada used to say the word cats and dogs, he said. Cats and dogs. So, you can see why Prabhupada used those strong words. You have to see what's the reason behind it, why he used that word. Because cats and dogs, they have their limitations. For example, dogs, they have a particular month when they get that excitement, sexual feelings very strongly. Similarly, animals also, other animals, if you look at the bulls, only a particular season they mate. And they get excited about it. There's a verse in the Shastram, Snava Asham Gajan Matum Rishabham Kama Mohidam. For various animals, how the attachment for opposite sex, attraction for opposite sex, develops in a particular time in every year. And at that time, when they have that excitement in them, Shastram says, should not go closer to them, because they will be very in agitated mood. Elephant, you have seen, from the must that starts coming out from there. It's a very dangerous time. So if you look at the elephant keepers, what they do, they tie them down with chains, front leg to the back legs, and they'll make sure that he doesn't have much freedom to move around at that particular time when the elephants have that must that comes out. It starts coming out from their forehead. And the elephant keepers have certain ways of controlling that at that time, the mood of the elephant. Similarly, bulls also, you can see, you can't go anywhere closer to them and the bulls are in that state. And it doesn't last very long, for a few days only. After that, they are normal. You can control them. But look at our state. It starts at the age of 14 or 15 and it doesn't leave you till about 80 or 90. Even then you can't say it's gone. This is our body. The bulls have got their own limitations. Elephant has got only their own limitations. The donkeys have got saved. Dogs have also. So all those species, they are protected to a large extent. Once a month or once in the season, year, like that, only this happens to them. But for us, by the age of 14, 15, it starts and it doesn't leave us till we leave this body practically. So if it is like that, what possibility is there to realize the self, to realize the truth here? Not possible. That's what it's saying here. So this emotion or excitement which has been given by the material nature, Prakriti is keeping us under the clutches of this Maya, that it is impossible to win over that. It says like this. And then what it says? It says that at least Krishna grants us some grace. It's not possible to come out of that. Bodhi dasya abhidevyami sukta vakyena durmate manogado maha moksho najayatya navayat ajidal manaham. Bodhi dasya abhidevyami sukta vakyena durmate manogado maha moho navayat ajidal manaham. Even though Urvashi's sweet words and her smile and her all sweet dealings, that Ajitendriya means I had no control on my own senses. And my mind was, intelligence was not in a very pure state. Because of this Urvashi, it didn't leave me alone. I could not think independently and properly, in the proper way. I could not discriminate things. I couldn't think in the proper way. Urvashi herself told Puruvas, "Are you not a man? Are you not a man? And should you not have some control over your mind? And should you not have some strength in yourself? Strength and control yourself. Why do you behave like this, like a person who has no discipline, self-discipline and culture, and run after me? This is not proper," says Urvashi to Puruvas. Even Urvashi had told me this, still I could not hear that. Puruvas says, "Sukta vakyena durmate." See that word? Sukta vakyena durmate. Remember that sukta vakyam. Suktam was, "Aho jaye tishtadi. Aho jaye tishtadi khore. Aho jaye tishta tishta khore." That is that sukta vakyam. Sukta vakyena durmade. Sukta vakyam is aho jaye tishta tishta khore. And even a little bit of control over the mind and senses you didn't have. And even though Urvashi has spoken to me about this, I could not control my mind. How stupid I am, says Puruvas. And that is the next verse. He says that Urvashi has punshalya apakritam chittam. I have blamed Urvashi responsible for my state of mind. But actually it is not Urvashi's fault, it's my fault, says Puruvas. Kime dayano apakritam rajuava sarpachetasaham rajusvaruva avidusho yoham ya ajidendriyaha kimedayano bhagadam rajuava sarpachedasaha rajusvaruva vidusho yoham yad ajidendriyaha. That suppose there is a rope and you have mistaken it as a snake, and till he realizes it is a rope, he will be under the impression that it is a snake. It will not go away, isn't it? That misunderstanding will be there in his mind. It is not possible to take it away. Similarly, that in his mind, this weakness of the mind is like that. Nothing else. Weakness of the mind is like that. Then, Puruvas says, analyzing this body, what this body is, He says here, this body is nothing but a lot of flesh in there. And seeing this flesh in a particular form, it is made. That's all. And in my mind, I have felt that it is an object for my gratification, for enjoyment. And I got convinced about that and accepted it. Like the way with the rope and the snake. I've accepted in that way. And I'm running after this piece of flesh whole life. If it is has like it happens like that, and no matter how much you have spoken to me, just like when there is a snake, a rope lying there, and if I have thought that it is a snake, even if somebody tells me, I will not be able to accept it straight away. Till I get convinced. Even somebody else advises me, it will not work. It will not have any effect. I'll still think it is a snake. Similarly, and the result is that if you see a snake, you will get frightened and you will run away, or you will, out of fear, you will try to get a snake to deal with the snake. And what else will happen? That is the effect, impact of that misunderstanding inside. Similarly, seeing this flesh, body of flesh, and I misunderstood that it is gives me a lot of pleasure. I will experience a lot of pleasure. And I am running after that, he says. That is the next verse. Quayam, quayam malimasakkayo, durghanvadhyatmago ashuchi, kva guna saumanasyadhyam, adhyaso avidyaya krithaha. Quayam malimasakkayo, durghanvadhyatmago ashuchi, kva guna saumanasyadhyal, adhyasyo avidyaya krithaha. Avidyaya krithaha. Or due to own, this is what is called avidya. Avidya means this. That he says here that this body, whose body is this? It is nothing but a combination of mucus, stool, urine, blood, and so many things like kwaham malimasakayo. And if you separate them and keep them, this body, break them up into the ingredients separately and put them in. You don't want to go to closer to any one of them. Isn't all of them smells? All of them smells. And not one of, and this body is made up of all these things. Kwaham malimasam kayam. Daurgandhyam. The smell that comes from that. Daurgandhya. Dhyalpago ashuchi. Kwa gunam. What is its quality? He says like that. So, and such a impure thing called this body, where is it? And where is good qualities like bhakti, good intelligence, equal vision towards others? These are the good qualities in a person. Where do they lie? This attachment to a body, which is nothing but flesh, urine, mucus, blood, bones, marrow, and all other things, which on their own individually, each one of them, are so abominable, all that has been put together and a form has been given. And my mind is saying to me, all my happiness is in that body. So Puridavas is saying, where is that understanding and where is these good qualities like equal vision, knowledge, self-realization, bhakti, all the good qualities? Can you compare these two things? Puridavas is asking us, how can you compare these two? So, there the power of avidya is coming like this. And here, and therefore, this adhyasa means this identification, or this attachment to the other, another body is called adhyasa. How did that happen? Due to adhyasa. That in my mind I built it up, this misunderstanding, that there is happiness in another body. There is happiness in this attachment. There is happiness in the association of the opposite sex. So this attachment, how did it come about? That's what Puridevas is saying. I have built it up inside in avidya. Due to avidya, I have built it up. I didn't have knowledge, he's saying like that. So due to the power of that avidya alone, this adhyasam has happened. Adhyasam means this, that misunderstanding. Adhyasam is the misunderstanding. Because of that misunderstanding, and I lived in that misunderstanding, The result of that is all these things, what has happened in my relationship with Urvashi. And that is what he is saying here. If you look at the next verse, Pitro kim swam nubharyaya swaminogneshwahradhrayo kim alpana kim sukhrada idiyo navasiyate. Pitro kim swam nubharyaya swaminogneshwahradhrayo kim alpana kim sukhrada idiyo navasiyate. He says, whose body is this actually? Whose body is this? If you look at this body and see, to whom does it belong to? Actually, who owns this body? Parents will say, that's my son or daughter. It's ours, our son or our daughter. So when we are small, they will say, it's ours. Parents will say, it's our son, our daughter. When you go for education, and the spiritual master will say that he is my disciple. My disciple. They will say like that. After marriage, the husband will say, it's my wife. And wife will say, it's my husband. Is it not? Their husband and wife take the ownership of the other body. When the children are born, the children will say, they are my parents, my father and my mother. They will say like this. After all that, when I am dead, either if the body is thrown away, the dogs will come and eat them. Or if it is thrown away, like in the Parsis do, the eagles will come and bite them and eat them. Or if you burn them, the Agni will eat them, fire will eat them. If you cremate them in other religions, they do. One day, the earth will take control of it. So, whom does this body belongs to? He is asking that question. Whose is this body? Sometimes we say it's our body, and we also have to leave this body. Parents say their body is not their body. Husband, wife say it's their husband, their wife. It doesn't belong to them either. Children say it's their parents. It's not their body either. And finally, when you leave the body, where does it go? It goes in one of these ways. So whose body is this? That's what he says, asking that question. Pitro kim sumna bhariyaya swamino agneshwa gradrayoho kim alpana kim sukhadam idiyo navasiyate. So, this is the state of this body. Tasmin kalevare amedhye tuchanishte vishajjale aho subhadram sunasam susmidam ja mukham striyaha tasmin kalevare amedhi tuchanishte vishajjale aho subhadram sunasam susmidam ja mukham striyaha. Then it is more interesting than that. He says here that this body is nothing but packaged with all abominable things, impure, dirty things, all packaged together. And he says here that who glorifies this body? These poets, you know, who writes poetry, they glorify this body, how beautiful a particular woman is or a man is. In this way they modify that. And they create, and they will explain this in their own verses. So much written about when she smiles, how beautiful. Look at her nose, look at her eyes, and look at the whole face, how beautiful she is. Poets do all these kind of things, isn't it? So, he says here, our Puriravas is saying here, Tasmin Kalebare Amedhye. Just like he says, if you take the stool and package it nicely with color paper and with a gilt paper, everything, and give you a nice appearance outside, it is like that, this body. It's a package made in that way, with all abominable things packaged together and given a particular form and shape, and people are thinking it is extremely beautiful. But inside it is urine, stool, and all other impure things. But that gilt paper package is the skin. Just like stool is packaged with a gilt paper and nicely, you know, when you give Christmas presents and all, how they package it nicely and hand it over, thinking that's something very beautiful. So similarly, Krishna is saying, Puriravas is saying here, that this is also a packaged thing. Only thing is, instead of the gilt paper, it's the skin. Color of the skin, nice skin, they have used that. And after seeing the skin, you are got into this illusion, and you are thinking that it's very beautiful. You have somehow gone to that understanding. And after seeing that beauty and get attracted by that and confirm that within oneself, you are run after that. If a situation happens like that, he says, what to do next? 21st verse. Tong maamsam rudirasnayam medam majasti samhado vin motra puye ramatam kriminam kiyadandaram. Tong maamsam rudirasnayam medam majasti samhado vin motra puye ramatam kriminam kiyadandaram. That tokka means the skin, maamsam, flesh. Then rudhiram, blood. Snayu medasa majja asti. The bones, its marrows and flesh, all these things mixed up together, and the form is sanghatam. Sanghatam means when they come together, when they operate together. That's called sanghatam. Sanghata rupam. Tung masa rudrasnayu medo majasi samhado. What else? Vinmutra puye ramadam krimiyanam krimiyanam kiyadandaram. And malam mutram, that means the urine and the stool, in there the worms enjoy. They are born in that, they live in that, and they die in that. They enjoy their life there. Similarly, Krishna is saying here also that like the worms are enjoying in that, if a human being also, man or a woman, also feels enjoyment like that, where is the difference between the worms and us? And us. No difference at all. So they are born in that stool and they live in that, that's their food, they live in that. And they drink that urine, what is in the, you can see, like the hogs and all other, so many other living entities, they eat that stool, they drink that urine, everything, and they die in that same conditions. So, and similarly, our body is also not much different. The same materials, same thing, packaging, everything. And if we find happiness in this body in that way, and not only that, I am identifying with that body, added to that, I am identifying with that body. And I am endeavoring all my life to enjoy my life based on this body. And due to its attraction, I am getting identifying with that and convinced on that and feeling pride about that, and I die in that situation in this body. So he is asking in this 21st verse, where is the difference between the worm and us? Those who are in that state, where is the difference? He is asking like that. Then very important verse after that. Athavi nobasajedam strishu straineshu chaarthavid vishayendriya samyogal mana kshubhirinanyatha. Very important words. Athavi nobasajedam strishu straineshu chaarthavid vishayendriya samyogal mana kshubhirinanyatha. Very important words. Krishna is saying that at no situation one who has understood the goal of life, the purpose of life, under no circumstances one should associate with women. Equally other way, man with woman and woman with men, both sides. Like a warning, Krishna is saying there, adhavi nobasajeda strishu straineshu chartavit. One thing, associating with women. Other thing is associating with people who talk about women, which is the worst thing than associating with women. You will see, if you work in offices and places like that, how this is a constant topic of discussion, is it not? Subtle level, gross level, all. And they are all very gentlemen there. But the topic of discussion is this. And accordingly, all other lifestyle also, in the same way. Krishna is saying, Adhabi nopasajjeda strishu straineshu chartavit. Vishayendriya samyogal shubhyade nanya na anyatha. Very lot of things to learn in that verse. Mind loses its shanti. Shanti means peace inside. When this mind loses the that shanti state it losing is called kshobham. It says kshubhyadi, isn't it? Kshubhyadi means kshobham. When does kshobham comes to your mind, or thought waves comes to the mind, only when vishayam and indriyam samyogam, when they join together, senses and the sense objects, when they come to contact with each other, that is when the mind gets disturbed. Mind gets disturbed when the senses comes into contact with sense objects. Krishna is saying like that. Adhabi nobasajeta. Therefore, one should not give an opportunity for the senses to come to contact with the sense objects. That's the protection. That is the protection. Not allowing the mind to come to contact with the sense objects. Adhabi nobasajeta. Strishu straineshu chartavit. Strishu straineshu chartavit. Vishaya indriya samyogal shubhyade nanyatha mana. Shubhiri nanyatha. So, adhabi nopasajeda strishu straineshu chartavet. Vishaya indriya samyogal manot shubhiri nanyatha. A very strong warning Krishna has given there in that verse. It cannot happen. Krishna says, if you want control of the mind, because if there is no shanti in the mind, how we will understand what Krishna is telling us? Because there is so much rajogunam, that is rajogunam, isn't it? And tamogunam inside. Where will sattugunam come? Sattugunam means shanti, always in peaceful state. So sattugunam goes away, rajogunam and tamogunam gets in. That's what he's saying there. And first of all, to have sattugunam itself is difficult. And only in excess of sattugunam, bhakti will come. Krishna has spoken that before. Bhakti comes to a person when there is a lot of sattugunam in him. So even if sattugunam is not there, what chances of bhakti can be there? There is no possibility of bhakti at all. Remember yesterday when we talked about three modes of material nature, Krishna mentions there that for jiva, first thing is to intensify the sattugunam inside. Develop or build up as much sattugunam as possible. And if sattugunam is present, then there is bhakti will come from that. If bhakti comes, nirabhakshatvam will come. The qualification of a first-class devotee. Nirabhaksham munim shandam nurvairam samadarshinam anuvrajamyaham nityam puyayat yankri renubhi. That nirabhakshatvam comes from bhakti, high level of bhakti. So, nirabhakshata won't come, bhakti won't come, sattugunam won't come, purely under the lower modes of rajogunam and tamogunam. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, therefore, he says here that under no circumstances one should associate with women and those who are addicted to talking about women. Straineshu chartavit. So, not only with the sense object, but even about with those who are vishayi. Vishayi means who are always discussing sense enjoyment. Not only sense object, but those who are discussing sense enjoyment. Even with them, one should not associate, because more powerful than the sense objects are these people who are discussing sense enjoyment. People who are discussing sense enjoyment, they are more dangerous than the sense objects itself. Because that's why Krishna says there, strishu straineshu. Strishu means women, straineshu means those who discuss women. all the time. And oh, therefore strainam, straineshu is more dangerous than strishu. More dangerous than the strishu. Because they are running around in this world only discussing this one topic. This is their greatest discussion. And sense objects, that will only attract those whoever is looking at the sense objects. Isn't it? Suppose you are looking at a sense object will only attract you. But these people who are discussing this topic, they will discuss this in such length that it will get everybody into it. That's a danger. That's why they are more dangerous than the sense object. A particular sense object will only attract if you look at that sense object. But if you get into association of this trineshu, or those who are discussing these sense objects, what will happen is that because they are glorifying these sense of all the sense objects in this world, you will easily fall into their trap. So, and when senses and the sense objects come together, mind will get agitated. And if the senses and the sense objects don't come closer, then the mind won't get agitated. Therefore, always senses must be kept away from the sense objects. This is what people who have got intelligence will do. And if the senses joins the sense object, mind will get upset. And if it mind will get excited, or mind will chubhyada. Chubhyada means it will become very in a disturbed state. The mind will be in a disturbed state. And if it is disturbed, emotions will build up inside. If the emotions comes inside, you may not be able to control that. Grdha kumbha sama puman, says in the Bhagavatam, in another place. Gridham is ghee. If you have a ghee, pot of ghee, and kumbha sama puman, then the man is like a pot of ghee. And if you keep this pot of ghee next to a fire, it will all melt very quickly, isn't it? So, woman is considered to be a fire, and man is considered to be like the pot of ghee. So, if you keep it closer, if they come closer, the ghee will melt. And man will get closer to women, he will get affected by the woman. And similarly, opposite way also. Therefore, once that emotions builds up in the man or in the woman, they will both will become weak. That's the warning in that verse. Adhabi novasajeda strishu strineshu charthavit visha indriya samyogal manat shubhiri nanyatha. If you say like this, that if a person, suppose you keep your eyes closed, even then you are getting emotional and excitement comes inside. And and why does that happen? That is due to purva vasana. Previous vasana was inside. Adrishta ashrudad bhavan na bhava upajayate asamprayunjada pranan shamyadi stimidam manaham. Adrishtad ashrudad bhavan na bhava upajayate asamprayunjada pranan shamyadi stimidam manaham. One thing Krishna says here, that if you have not seen a particular object, or if you have not heard about it before, then that object will not create any emotions in the mind. It will not agitate your mind. That's one point. Adrishtad ashrudad bhavat na bhavam upachayate. So these two things, these two senses, eyes and the ears. If the eyes have not seen something and the ears have not heard about something, it should not create any agitation in the mind. That's what he's saying here. Na bhava upajayate asamprayunjada pranan shamyadi stimitam mana. One who does not engage his senses in the sense objects, in due course of time, it will come to the state of shanti. It will come to the state of shanti. If one does not engage his mind in the sense gratification, engages his mind in the sense gratification. So it is practically a training that is required, that Krishna is saying that in course of time, that if you train this way, based on this understanding what Krishna is giving us, it will strengthen our resolve, determination inside, and will make us strong, and we will not get victimized like the way Puravas got victimized by Urvashi. It will not happen. That is what Krishna is saying. Reason for that is these two verses. Atabhi nopasajjeda strishu stradeshu charthavid vishaya indriya samyogal manam shubhiri nanyatha adrishtad ashudad bhava ashudanna bhava upajayate adrishtad ashudad bhava na bhava upajayate asamprayunjada pranan shyamyadi smidam manaha. After saying that, one should not do this. Again, Krishna is stressing that point. That so, one who adrishtam ashudam, he said here that only from that bhavam, that one we does not know. Suppose he has not seen it, he has not heard about it. Then only it will create. It won't create any emotions inside. Therefore, you should remain aloof. You should remain aloof from the others. And those one who wants to win over that. Otherwise, it will always be agitating the pranam inside. Pranam will get affected and the mind will not be peaceful inside. And if the mind does not make any movement inside, there won't be any emotions inside. Therefore, strainam and stri and strainam, and associating with them, with the stri as well as strainam, or those who talk about women, associating, one should never associate. It is even, it's dangerous, even for learned people. He says here, even for learned people. Said, if it is dangerous for them, Krishna says, what about the ordinary people who are mudha? He says here. Tasmal sango nakartavya strishu straineshu cha indriyai vidushām chāpya viśraddhām shadvargam kimumā adrishām tasmāl saṅgo na kartavyo strīṣu straideshu chārtha chendriyai vidushām chāpya viśraddhām shadvargam kimumā adrishām. Therefore, strīṣu straineshu chendriyai saṅgo na kartavyam tasmāl strīṣu straineshu cha indriyai saṅga na kartavyam. Therefore, with women and with those who are attached to women, with them we should not make any contact with the senses. Contact with the senses. Because vidushām japya viśraddham, even learned people, they get disturbed over this. Shadvarga kimumā drishām. He said, shadvarga kimumā drishām. Madrishām kimu vattavyam. Even they cannot trust their senses. What to talk about ordinary people like us who does not have that discrimination inside. This is Krishna saying, those who are very advanced in the spiritual life, even they can fall due to strishu straineshu charthavit. Strishu straineshu charthavit. Therefore, one should never fall, get victimized by them. Vidushām japi viśraddham shadvarga kimamādrishām. If they can fall, what is going to happen to ordinary people? Krishna is asking that question to us. Warning very strongly about this. And after saying that, Krishna is saying a few things and before concluding this chapter. And after talking about this, he says here, when Purvaravas has spoken this, you have to remember, we call it a Saila Gita. But who is saying all this? Krishna. Krishna is saying this. Krishna is saying Purvaravas has sung a song like this, Uddhava. In other words, Krishna is stamping it, authorizing it, that what Purvaravas spoken as is the truth. The words may be from Purvaravas' words, but it is now coming from Krishna's to Uddhava, isn't it? So that is why he mentions like this, that in this way, Pururavas, Krishna says, Pururavas spoke all these things and renunciation and detachment came to him. So He gave up Urvashi and even Urvashi's planet. He gave up all that. And due to very strong attachment for self-realization, all ignorance has left him inside. Because when one realizes the seriousness of spiritual life, this attraction for Urvashi and happiness with Urvashi has all gone away from inside and came back to his senses, in other words. And he went back to the spiritual world. Puritavas realized it later. So the advice, Krishna's advice, that's the next verse, the 25th and 26th verse.
Shri Bhagavan Vacham Evam Pragayan Nurvadeva Devam Sa Urvashi Lokamatho Vihayam Alpanam Atminavagamyamam Vai Ubaramatyana Vithuta Moham Evam Pragayan Nurvadeva Devam Sa Urvashi Lokamatho Vihayam Alpanam Atminavagamyamam Vai Ubaramatyana Vithuta Moham.
So he says that singing Evam Pragayan, Krishna is saying, Evam Pragayan, after singing like this, Nrupadeva Deva, who is the king of kings, emperor, Puryuravas, Sa Urvashi Lokamatho Vihaya, he left Urvashi's world.
Alpanam Alpani Avagamya Mam Vai. Alpanam Alpani Avagamya, Yana Viduda Moha Uparamat.
He says, singing this, he left Urvashi's planet and he realized who he is and realized identification of the Atma, Atmanam Atmanyam. That identification of himself with Atma means he left his Jiva state and realized as Atma, that the self, and came Uparam Ajnana Vidhuta Moha. Due to the Ajnanam or ignorance, whatever illusion he was in, Vidhuta Moha, he gave up that. All illusion he left. Illusion gone away from him, he came back to his senses, and in that way understood who he is, became, realized the self, and eventually identification with the Brahman as the Aham Brahmasmi state, came back to Puryuravas. And Puryuravas left this world and withdrew himself from everything and left this world. Then Krishna's advice.
Tato dusangamul srijya salsu sajeda buddhiman sandamedasya chindandi mano vyasangamuktipi. Tato dusangamul srijya salsu sajeda buddhiman sandamedasya chindandi mano vyasangamuktipi. Tato dusangamul srijya buddhiman salsu sajeda.
Therefore, intelligent person, he should give up the association of the durjanam or the non-devotees or those who are not interested in spiritual life, you can say. They are all durjanam, and always keep the association of sajjanam, those who are devotees and interested in the spiritual life.
Sanda edasya manovyasangam uttibi chindandi.
If you associate with the devotees, or if you associate with people who are interested and serious about spiritual life, they will help you by through instructions and remove that attachment inside the mind by telling you about the spiritual side of life. By instructing all the time about spiritual life, they will take away that avidya inside or attachment, ajnanam inside, they will remove that from you. That is the benefit of salsangam. He says that sandam edasya manovya sangam uktibi chindandi. They will break that for you inside. Without your knowledge, it will be broken. Because when you hear these episodes in the Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, Puranams, all, he's only telling us this one thing. And if you keep on absorbed in that, these good instructions in the Bhagavadam will take our mind and break it away from that attachment if one feels strongly towards anybody. Vairagyam will come to that person. He said, Tatvado dusangamul srijyam salsu sajeda buddhiman sandamedasya chindandi mano vyasangamukti bhi. He says here that not matter how much you have studied, or how much knowledge you have got about Shastram, now and then one should have Salsangam. One should have Salsangam. Because only through Salsangam you can keep the purity of the mind in the proper state. In the proper state. Even if you have studied well, or even if you have got a lot of knowledge from the books and heard from others, still, now and then, frequently, one must have Salsangam. Because only through Salsangam you can maintain that purity of the mind. By no other means it is possible. Even though one person is very well educated, due to purva vasana, suppose there is some, you are educated very well in this life, that's fine. But if the purva vasana is inside, suddenly sometimes people will get caught up in that. Due to purva vasana, previous vasanas from the previous life, that may be inside, which we are not aware of. Due to that vasana, you may get trapped sometime in sense enjoyment. So, if an opportunity comes for sense enjoyment will happen. The result of that is, the mind will become impure, polluted with that. If it gets polluted, that means that life is gone. Therefore, Krishna mentions here that only devotees, only who are absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, they will protect you, your mind, from these kind of influences, this kind of emotions. And they will convince you with various explanations from the Shastram or through Tattvam. They will talk to you with Tattvam, and the Sajjanam or devotees, they will maintain the purity of your mind. And therefore, very often and frequently, one must maintain this Salsangam. That is Krishna's advice on this, for this reason only. That because while dealing with in Vyavaharam, and particularly in the under the in the influence of the material nature, Prakriti, that in you can always see this, the impact of the world on us. And when that happens, there is no protection. Krishna is saying, in order to protect yourself, keep in Satsangam and take the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam seriously, and that will protect you. That's how Krishna is controlling that. Tato dusangam ulsrijya. Salsu sajeda buddhiman, sandameda se chindandi, manovyasanga mukti bhi. Manovyasanga mukti bhi. After saying that, Krishna is now talking about what is the symptom of a person for salsangam. What type of people one should associate with. That is the next verse. We'll discuss it after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavmahadavadmi nirvapanam. Shreya Kaidava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidyavadu Jeevanam Nambudhi Vardhanam Pradipada Purna Amrada Swadhanam Sarvatna Subhanam Varam Vijayave Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Nam Namagari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Eda Drishitava Kripa Bhagavan Mamabhi Deva me drisham hajani nanu yaga Tranarabi shuni jena Tarorabi sahishnuna Amani nama nadena kirtani yasada hari Nathanam na janam na sundarim Kavitam va jagadi shakamai Mama janmani janmani shwari Bhavadad bhakti rahi dugitvai Ayi nandadanu jakingaram Patitamam shami bhavambudau Kribaya tava padapanka jastida duvi sadrisham vichindaya Mayanam galadashudharaya Vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira Pulagaya nijinam kadavapu Tavannama grihane bhavishyadi Yugaidam vimeshena Chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam Govinda virahe name Ashlishyavapadaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam varmahadam karyotuva Yadhatadhava vidadad vilambado Malprananadhastuna evanapara. So, in the
ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാചം ഏവം പ്രകായൻ നൃപദേവദേവ സർവശീലോകമഥോ വിഹായ ആത്മാനമാത്മന്യവഗമ്യമാം വൈ ഉപാനമജ്ഞാനവിധൂതമോഹാം തതോ ദുസംഗമുത്സൃജ്യ സൽസു സജ്ജേദ ബുദ്ധിമാൻ സന്തമേതസ്യ ചിന്തന്തി മനോവ്യാസംഗമുക്തിഭിഃ. കൃഷ്ണ മെൻഷൻസ് ഇൻ ദ 26th വേഴ്സ് ദാറ്റ് സൽസംഗം ഈസ് നെസസറി നോ മാറ്റർ ഹൗ എജ്യൂക്കേറ്റഡ് ഹി ഈസ് ഓർ വാട്ട് എവർ knowledge he has got, still occasionally, frequently, he must have satsangam very often, because only through satsangam you can maintain this purity. Otherwise it will not be possible, no matter how educated he is. So then, after saying that, symptoms of the sajjanam or the devotees, he is saying sando anabeksha മച്ചിത്ത പ്രശാന്താസമദർശിനാഹ നിർമ്മമാനിരഹങ്കാര നിർദ്വന്ദ്വം നിഷ്പരിഗ്രഹ സന്തോ അനപേക്ഷ മച്ചിത്ത പ്രശാന്താസമദർശിനാഹ നിർമ്മമാനിരഹങ്കാര നിർദ്വന്ദ്വം നിഷ്പരിഗ്രഹ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് the symptom of a sajjanam or a devotee, that first thing is anabhaksha, that is their qualification, that they haven't got any agenda, they haven't got any agenda or any desires inside. Anabhaksha, they have no, they're not expecting anything from anybody, but at the same time they have that anabeksha machitta prashanta samadarshina, and because they are not dependent on anybody except Krishna, because of that they are not expecting anything from anybody, and they are kindness towards others. And he says here machitta means dependent on Krishna, they are dependent on Krishna, and due to that prashandam samadarshinam, they are equal towards everybody, equal towards everyone, and they also talk about Krishna's glories. They will always glorify Krishna. Prashanda samadarshinam, and equal vision to everybody, and they do not feel proud about themselves. That nirmama nirahangara, no attachment anywhere, no mamata, nirmamatva means no mamata, equal vision towards everyone, and they are not expecting anything from anybody. Those personalities, such personality, Krishna says that only if you have association with them you will be able to maintain the purity of the mind. So these are the qualification: sando, anabeksha, machitta, prashanda, samadarshinam, nirmamam, nirahangaram, nirdvandvam, nishparigraha. They don't have any possessiveness that I want this, I want that, as attachment with the matter in that way and feeling proud about that. They don't do that. Then dualities don't affect them. Nirdvandvam, dvandvam is not there. In other words, they don't see one higher and one lower, seeing everyone as suffering in this world. That is the qualification of a sajjanam. He does not put somebody on a higher platform, someone on a lower platform. That dvaita buddhi has gone away from them. Nirdvandvam. Nishparigraha means no avarigraham, no parigraham. That means they are not holding on to anything in this world as their own and living in this life in that state. Nirahangara, freedom from pride and ego. And nirmama, no attachment anywhere in this world. These are all certain qualifications, these are certain qualities in a sajjanam. Association with such people will help. That's what Krishna is saying here. Anabeksha, they themselves on their own, they don't have any desires. They know there is nothing here to be desiring about. Machitta, they are always absorbed in Krishna. Prashanda, they are always peaceful inside. Samadarshina, they have an equal vision towards everyone. If all these things are there, Krishna says, association with them will maintain the purification of our own mind. And then what else? Another qualification of the sajjanam. Another qualification of the sandha. Sandha means the devotees. Teshu nityam mahabhaga mahabhageshu malkathaha sambhavandihidanranam jushadam prabunandhyakam. Teshu nityam mahabhaga mahabhageshu malkathaha sambhavandihidanranam jushadam prabunandhyakam. Krishna says that Uddhava, that among those great souls, they will always be absorbed in me, in Krishna, which means that they will always be absorbed in talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and exchanging about Krishna with others. These are all symptoms they associated with such mahalpas. That they will talk such things that they are constantly experiencing Krishna's words about Krishna and spoken about Krishna. Spoken by Krishna and spoken about Krishna. Whatever Krishna has spoken in this world, they'll take it very seriously. And they also will relish when others talk about Krishna in a favorable way to develop bhakti in the heart towards Krishna. Tam jushadam akham prabhunandi. And when you keep hearing those pastimes spoken about Krishna and Krishna's instructions, simply by hearing alone, that remove all the bad vasanas inside. Bad vasanas. Akham prabhunandi. Prabhunandi means that removes in from the root itself all those vasanas what is inside. So, Krishna says here that when they join together, these devotees, when they join together, they will talk about Krishna's glories, endless glories, and they hear that, and that alone will remove all the bad vasanas what is inside, and such thoughts will go away. And next verse. Taye shrunvandi gayandi anumodandi chadridaha malpara shraddhadanascha bhaktim vindadite mai. Taye shrunvandi gayandi anumodandi chadridaha malpara shraddhadanascha bhaktim vindadite mai. So ye adadada shrunvandi gayandi anumodandi chate malparaha Shraddha dhanascha sandha mai bhakti mindandi. Those who hear that with respect and those who sing that and relishes that, they will become attached to me and they will develop bhakti in the heart. That's the purpose of satsangam. Satsangam is to create bhakti in the heart of a person. So Krishna is saying here that those who are listening to them, the previous two verses, what Krishna has spoken, if you keep listening to them, and because they will not talk anything else except matter in relationship with Krishna, and they do not desire to talk about anything else or to hear, therefore due to their association, the shanti in the mind will stay. There will be shanti inside. And bhaktim labdhavadi sadho kimanyadavashishyate mai ananda gune brahman brahman ananda anubhaval mani. Bhaktim labdhavada sadho kimanyadavashishyate mai ananda gune brahman ananda anubhaval mani. So if we get that kind of association in that way, and at the same time if one engages in his own sadhana and nishtha, suppose a person has developed bhakti. Imagine somebody has developed bhakti in this way, due to samsargam, to sajjana samsargam or salsangam, and also due to one's own sadhana. Everything is necessary. One needs one's own sadhana and one's own also absorb in the hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam and association, all that. Suppose a person has developed bhakti in this way. Krishna is saying, kimanyad avashishyade, what else he has to go to get in this life here? And nothing else, because due to that bhakti alone, everything will happen to him in due course, if he develops that bhakti in that way. Because my bhakti, Krishna says there, that my ananda gune brahmani ananda anubhavalmani. Anandam anubhavalmani. And anandam anubhavalpani, that anandam that comes from that bhakti alone, that alone is capable of creating auspiciousness for him. From their bhakti alone, he says, endless qualities and of Krishna's endless qualities, which is the source of all the happiness of this world. He says, if you develop bhakti there in Krishna in that way, then there is nothing else to be achieved in life. Krishna is saying, there is nothing to be achieved in life, because that bhakti alone will take him further. Once the bhakti has developed properly, then that bhakti will take him to the higher levels. All other knowledge what's necessary, that bhakti will bring that. All the knowledge necessary, bhakti will bring. All the realization necessary, bhakti will bring that. And finally, he will leave this body and get back to the destination where he wants to be. That will also happen to him. So generally Krishna is saying that salsangam strength, he is saying. This salsangam is for creating bhakti. Due to proper salsangam, by association and hearing constantly about Krishna and Krishna's instructions, both. Whatever Krishna has spoken and whatever that's been spoken about Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is all about Krishna, isn't it? Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is all what Krishna has spoken. So both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam will strengthen the salsangam, will create that strength inside, and gradually Krishna is saying through that bhakti will develop in a person. If you want to take salsangam seriously, and in due course of time from that bhakti alone, Krishna says he will get everything what he needs. The knowledge what's necessary, the realization what's necessary, and finally, the final destination also, he will get to that point. And he says here, Edho vashrayamanasya bhagavandam vibhavasam shidam bhayam tamopedi sadhun samsevadastatham. Edho vashrayamanasya bhagavandam vibhavasam shidam bhayam tamopedi sadhun samsevadastatham. Example, he says here, suppose you are serving fire god or fire. In that case, you are cold, you are not feeling cold anymore. Suppose you are in the vicinity of fire. Darkness goes away because of the fire, there is light there. And all the fear also goes away due to the darkness. So, yathobashrayamanasya bhagavandam vibhavasam shidam bhayam tamasa peri sadhun samsevadastatha. Similarly, those who are in association with the devotees and serving them, Krishna says, the fear due to material existence, the fear that comes from karma and ignorance inside, all these three influences will go. One thing is ignorance inside, because associate identification with the body, is it not? So that creates ignorance inside, that must go. Some salsangam will help to get rid of that ignorance from inside. Secondly, due to living in this world, there is always fear, material existence. Material existence is always fearful, isn't it? That material existence will go away, and therefore that fear also will go. Material existence is due to identification with the body. And because in salsangam, you will learn how to free yourself from identifying with the body, little by little, the fear of material existence will also leave us. So, as Krishna is saying here, then there is also the problem due to karma. Due to absorption in karma, jadatvam comes. Jadatvam means the association with the matter. That we become more and more like matter. We lose our finer qualities due to karma. Karma has got a disastrous effect like that on us. So, these three things, jadatvam due to karma, fear due to material existence, and similarly, the ignorance in us, which is deep-rooted of the association with the matter and the self as the body, all these three things will be taken out due to salsangam. Krishna is saying, just like he gives the example, one who is serving the sun god, for him, that he won't experience, if the sun god is pleased with him, he won't experience the cold or darkness or the fear. None of them is effective anymore with him. So such a person, sarvalpana, Krishna says, sarvalpana. And you can see there that in the next verse, nimajyam unmajyadam ghore bhavabdhau paramayanam sando brahmavida shanda naodhradevapsamajyadam nimajyunmajyadam ghore bhavabdhau paramayanam sando brahmavida shanda naodhradevapsamajyadam. Krishna says here that the this material existence is like a large ocean. And in this material existence, we go down, come up all the time. And everyone is helpless about that. Is it not? We get this body now. You can see our helpless state. We have got this body and we struggled all the life through in this world. And even now, you cannot say that you are feeling fearless. Still anxiety about the future. What will happen in the future? When we get old, what will happen? The body is going to give trouble. Death will come. What will happen to family? What will happen to friends, family, society? All sorts of fear is constantly flying through the mind. So Krishna is saying here that, and even if you leave this body, is there any shelter after that? Concerned about what the future will be, which body you will get after leaving this body. And when you get a new body, even if it is a human body, where you will get that human body, what opportunity you may have in that human body, again the whole struggle starts again. So that is why he says that nimajyam unmajadam ghore. Nimajyam unmajadam means drowning and coming up. Drowning and coming up in this ocean. Ghore, the ocean is called bhavabdi. Bhavabdi means cycle of birth and death. Bhava means material existence. Material existence means it's like this going down in the water and coming up again. Material life is compared to that. That constantly you have to leave this body, get another body, leave that body, get another body. How many bodies we have changed so far? Endlessly. How many bodies we are going to change in the future? That's also could be endlessly. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? What will happen at the time of death? How we will be carried away to the next body? In every body, all problems. Every body, when you get another body, immediately new parents, new home, and new relationships. From there, all the problems. Then, to satisfy the pure parents, you have to go to school, college, and another 15-20 years, you have to go through that. After that, marriage, home, another building, another family, and then all the anxieties associated with that. In this way, if you look, is there one moment of peace in this life? Practically not. To be truthful about it, isn't it? We have to admit that. Householder's life is like that. There is no happiness, always in anxiety about one thing or the other. If there is nothing else, the body will give trouble. Anxiety about one's own body. And any moment anything can happen with the body, that fear. So, fear is the very nature of material existence. Anything happens to anybody in the family, immediately everything is affected. Then trying to solve that problem, this problem. So it's an endless thing and there is no solution to this problem. That's what Krishna is saying here. That material existence is like that. And those, you can be taken out from this material existence, and those who are taking you out from that material existence, Krishna says, they are the sandha, sajjanam. They will do that. Therefore, you should not leave them. And if you see them, and if you get an opportunity to associate with them, you should take advantage of that. And they can, if everything works out, if Krishna is favorable, their association will free yourself from the calamities of life. From the calamities of life. Krishna is generally talking about the importance of Salsangam. In the 12th chapter, Krishna already has spoken. If you remember, Narodhyadivam Sankhyo, Na Yogam Na Uddhavam. Remember? Narodha. If you look at the 12th chapter, Narodhyadivam Yogo, Na Sankhyam Na Dharmamevacham, Na Swadhyayam Tabastyago, Ishtapurtam Na Dakshinam, Vradhaniyatnya Chandamsi, Tirthani Nemoyamam. Yadhavarunde salsangam sarvasangobaho bhimam salsangena du daideyo yadudhana mrgakhagaha gandharva apsaraso naga siddha charanaguhyagaha vidyadhara manusheshu vaishya shudrastriyondhyajaha rajastama pragrdaya tasmin yuge anakaha brahavo malpadam prata tvashtrakaya dhavadaya Vrushabarva belirbano mayaschada vibhishanaha Sugrivo hanuman raksho gajo gridro vanipadaha Vyadha kubja vraje gopyo yajnavatnyastathapare. The amount of examples Krishna has shown that all these personalities, and they belong to all species, birds, animals, beasts, monkeys, elephants, eagles, business people, and butcher, all types of people, demons, and even the human, among the human species, women, shudras, vaishyas. And why he's mentioning that is that rajasa and tamasa, we remember rajogunam tamogunam is stronger in them. That's why it is mentioned that. Even them, then Mrgaha, Khagaha, Gandharvaha, Apsarasa, Gandharvas, Nagas, Siddhas, Charanas, Guhyagas. In all species, Krishna says, they all have taken Salsangam and have escaped from here. Sugriva, we have discussed this when we discussed that verse, these verses at that time. So we can't go into individually every case, but you remember that how Sugriva got, due to association, escaped. Sugriva was not all that nice person. He didn't show much symptoms of a devotee. Sugriva didn't. But he got into association with Hanuman, a devotee, and that salsangam elevated Sugriva. Sugriva was always into sense enjoyment. He hadn't got a clue about anything about spiritual life. He didn't have. Got into trouble with Bali. And finally, with all that struggle he had, he managed to escape due to association with Anjaneya Swami. So like this, all list Krishna has spoken there. There itself Krishna has spoken about the salsangam. And finally, Krishna said there, Tenadhida Shrigana Nobasita Mahattamaham Avrada Taptadavasaha Salsangamam Bhagadaham. That is the culmination of that, the total conclusion of the whole thing. Tenadhira Shudiganaha Nobasi Damahattamaha Avrada Tapta Tapasaha Salsangamam Upagadaha. Krishna is saying that look at that gopis. Gopis basically was tamogunam, wasn't it? Ordinary people, tamogunam. They didn't have any knowledge of Shastram. They didn't study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, anything like that. They had no knowledge of that. You have to look at them from this life. Don't say about, oh, previous life they had this, that's why it has happened. No. That is why they got the Salsangam. Because of the previous piety, the previous lives. They were rishis. They were demigods, women. They were from Rishijaris and Devacharis, Shudhicharis, Vedas personified. They were also there. Gopis is a group of people, devotees of from various backgrounds. They had come as gopis. Rishijaris, Shudhicharis, all mentioned in the Bhagavatam before. So, Tenadhida Shudhiganaha. These gopis have not studied any Shastram, Krishna is saying. What Shastram have they studied? Nopasita Mahattamaha. What credibility they have, as though they have served some great personality in this world. They didn't have any opportunity. Because their life was centered around looking after the cows, looking after the home, and selling the milk and milk products. That was their life, isn't it? Simple life in the village. Nopasi dhamahattamaha. Then if you look at their life, avrada tapta tapasaha. If you look, ask any question that, what kind of austerities have they done? Nothing. The only one austerity they have done was that Kartyayani Vratam. 41 days they performed at Kartik month, Kartyayani Vratam, which you see there. When they, to come, Krishna as the husband, they performed some sacrifice. And that also, it's not a very complicated one, sacrifice, compared to many other what you read in the Bhagavatam. Simply they went to the riverbank early in the morning, bathed in the river. They made a deity of Sri Parvati with the sand and earth mixed together. And they brought some flowers with them, some incense with them. And they cooked something and brought with them, offered everything to the deity afterwards, and prayed to Sri Parvati. Kartyayini Mahamaye Mahayogini Adishwari Nanda Goba Sudam Devi Padime Kurde Nama. This was all their prayer to Sri Parvati, that Krishna should come as our husband. Like that they prayed. They were young girls, very small girls. And then they threw this Kartyayini's deity, the Nimajjanam. Nimajjanam, they threw it into the water. That was the system in them days in Vrindavanam. So, that's all. This is the only austerity you find in the gopis' life. Only austerity what you find in the gopis' life. So, Krishna is saying, no education, no service to any great soul, association with any great soul, they didn't have. No austerity of penances. Gopis came up only due to one. What is that? Salsangamam upagadaha. Salsangam alone. What is that salsangam? Association with Krishna. Krishna is the salsangam there. There Krishna is the salsangam. So that is how Krishna has spoken in the 12th chapter. And now Krishna is saying the same thing in a different way. He says here that when the gopis got that opportunity, they were in tamogunam, that tamogunam left them. And they were elevated to the salsangam level. And finally, when Krishna left them, last meeting when Krishna had with the gopis was in the in Kurukshetram, isn't it? When they came to see them, when they came to see Krishna. Krishna, they all came, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, all the gopis came to see Krishna in Kurukshetram. And there that solar eclipse happened. It is on the 83rd or 84th chapter in the 10th canto. So for the solar eclipse, when they all came from Dwaraka, all the queens came, all Krishna's family, they all came, the Yadavas went there, all the kings from different parts of the country, they also came there. So there Krishna asked the gopis that, do you expect anything else from me? Look at the gopis' prayers at that time. That is where Krishna spoke to them about the absolute truth. The knowledge was given to the gopis at that time. After bringing them to that level, and the gopi saying to Krishna that, you will see in the Bhagavatam that verse, when you read that, gopis are saying to Krishna that never again a desire should come to our heart. Once again, no desire should build up inside. Gopis are saying to Krishna. That was their prayer to him. So when you recently read those verses, you can immediately understand Krishna's satisfaction. What Krishna wanted, to what level they have risen. Gopis have risen to that level. That is what Krishna is mentioning there. In that verses you will find that in the gopi situation at that time. So, salsangam, Krishna is saying, is capable of doing these things to anyone. And it is coming in the end of that chapter. I can't remember now.
Ahuschate nalina nava padaravindam yogeshwarer abhimagandamajat vijarabhodehi samsara kupam patidotaranavalambam geham jushamabhi manasudiyal sadana.
This is what gopis said to Krishna. The very gopis who in their childhood, when they were small and Krishna was present there, when that attachment happened between Krishna and the Krishna is, as we mentioned before, if ever any attachment develops, that object with whom you are getting attached should be beyond the three modes of nature. When association happened with Krishna, they didn't know what modes of nature means. Even that they didn't know. At least we read that in the book, even though we don't know, but we read in the book what modes of nature means. Gopis haven't had a clue what modes of nature means. And when we discuss that modes of nature, we mention there, if our everything is gunamayam in this world, Gopis' good fortune, they had the opportunity to associate with an object which is outside the three modes of material nature, Krishna. That is what happened. Therefore, what happened? All the gunabhavam went from inside, all gone. When the gunabhavam gone, what did they say to Krishna? Ahuschade nalinanabhavadaravindam yogeshareer abhivijindya makadabhodehi samsarakupa patitotarana valambam geham jusham abhimanasudiyal sadana. Gopis are saying to Krishna that we are in this material world. Gopis are saying this, those who have not studied any shastram or any kind of association with anyone, they are saying this. Ahuschade, addressing Krishna, nalina nabhavadarya vindam, that you are lotus feet, great, great yogis, rishis, yogeshir abhivijinte maghadha bhodehi. From their very depth of their heart, they hold you, your lotus feet, they are holding it. Krishna's lotus feet. They hold it at the very depth core of their heart, they are holding it. And they are struggling to hold it all the time, isn't it? They are struggling to hold it. Because in their meditation, sometimes some other thoughts come and the meditation broke. It has happened to all the great, great rishis. They all say that. They are all trying to remember Krishna's lotus feet in the heart. And they fail. They fail. So, yogeshware abhivijindyam akadabodehi akadabodam. In the very core and depth of their heart, they are trying to hold you all the time. But who are we? Your gopis are saying, samsarakubam padidotaranavalambam. But what has happened to us, that because we got attached to you in this way, you are always inside us. You have never left us. They were convinced about that. Krishna cannot leave you. That is realization, isn't it? When gopis realize that Krishna cannot leave us, after that they never complain to Krishna, "Yo, you left Vrindavan and gone away." No, Krishna has never left Vrindavan, because gopis are saying this. You have gone to Mathura and then to Dwaraka and all that. But samsara kubam, even though we are still the same gopis who lived in Vrindavanam many, many years ago, decades before, and we are still doing the same business of selling the milk and butter and cheese and yogurt and whatever that is. And we are living, carrying on our life like this. Samsara kupa patidottarana valambam. And we know very well, in our life also, a lot of changes are happening. The same birth, death, old age, disease, everything happening there also. So gopis are also experiencing their life. And they are saying to Krishna, but even though all these things are happening in our life, geham jusha abhimana sudiyal sadana, that every time, whenever our mind goes away from you, you must immediately come and keep us in that state. This is the result of self-sangam. So at one time, gopis prayed, they had desires, Krishna should come as your husband. And naturally, normal desires like everybody else had, they also had. They were not free from all that. They also had the same desires. But now what happened? All desires have gone from inside. And this is the famous gopis acknowledgement to Krishna. Ahuschade nalinanabha padaravindam yogishwarer abhivichindyam agadha bodhi samsara kupam patitotaranavalambam geham jushamabhi manasi udiyal sadana. As and when, if ever we get any kind of agitation in the mind due to material existence, they are saying, due to material existence, if ever any strong emotions builds up inside, immediately, just like the sun rises and removes the darkness, you should come from the core of our heart. In other words, gopis are saying, we know that you are inside here. Acknowledging that. Geham jushamabhi manas yudhiyal sadana. At that point, you should come up from the core of the heart and show your presence there and remove that ignorance from inside. Remove from ignorance from inside. This is what gopis had said to Krishna. So here you can see that the that in the next verse you will see this, that annam hi praninam pranam
Arthanam Sharanam Tvayam Sharanam Tvaham Dharmo Vitam Ranam Pretya Sandorva Vibhyadoranam Annam Hi Prainam Pranam Arthanam Sharanam Tvaham Dharmo Vitam Ranam Pretya Sandorva Vibhyadoranam.
Then, for normal living entities, food is very close, very, very dear to them. They need food, isn't it? Food is very dear to them. Similarly, those who are in distress, Krishna is their shelter. Krishna is their shelter. Similarly, for a human body, human species, when you leave this world, the only wealth what you carry with you is your good deeds, what you have done to others. If you have done good things for others, helped others, or or if you have followed the principles of dharma and lived that life, that means naturally that life is will carry some pious merit from that. Similarly, those who are struggling in this material existence, for them, sajanam or salsangam is the only shelter. That's what Krishna is saying here. Annam hi praninam pranam arthanam sharanam param tuaham dharmo vitam nranam pretya sandorvak vibhyadoranam. Sandorvak means the words, their words. Saintly people, their words is the only shelter for them. Krishna is saying, glorifying the saintly persons or sajanam, in other words. So, he says here, similarly, those who are suffering in this world, Krishna is a shelter. And similarly, for human species, dharmam is their wealth. Similarly, those who are trying to escape from this material existence, for them, from material existence, those who want to free from material existence and escape from this material life, for them, sajanam or sandha. Sandha almaham evacha. He says, sandha. They are the shelter. Last, the next verse. Sando dishandi chakshumshi vahirarkha samuttidaha devada bhandava sandha sandham almaham evacha. Sando dishandi chakshumshi vahirarkha samuttidaha devada bhandava sandha sandham almahamevacha. Krishna says, even though the sun is shining in the sky, only if you have the eyes to see, you can see that sun. So, if you have no eyes, even the sky, sun is there in the sky, what's the benefit? No benefit, isn't it? Similarly, even if you have studied a lot of Shastram, Vedam, and still, if you have not developed that power inside of discrimination power, to discriminate whom to associate and whom not to associate with, that discriminative power, if you have not developed, this will not come into your experience level. So who creates that discriminative power inside? They are sandha. Krishna says they are sandha. Sir sandha. Sandha creates, or sajanam in other words, they create that discriminative power to whom to associate and not to associate with. It is for this reason Krishna says there, devada bhandava sandha sandha almaham evacham. Actually, demigods and bhandava, relatives also, those who are helping in that direction, and alma, our own alma, is sandha. They are all sandha. So, always taking the association and the shelter of the santa, saintly people, you should continuously hear about Krishna, about glories of Krishna, and whatever Krishna has spoken to this world, If we continuously do that, you will not, Krishna is guaranteeing there, you will not fall down. Or degradation won't happen. You won't degrade. Degradation won't happen. After saying that, Krishna is so therefore, Krishna is saying there, sandha, sandha, tevada, bhandava, sandha, sandha, almaham evacha. Therefore, these devotees or personalities, they are the devadas, they are the actual relatives. who these saintly people, they are your actual relative, not the people who are connected with you through blood. They we may call relative because of the blood relationship. But real relative, Krishna is saying, are those who help you in your spiritual life. Help in your spiritual life. Devada, Bhandava, Sanda, Sandam, Alma, Aham Evacha. They are the Alma, they are the self, and they are me. They are not different from me. Krishna is saying. Krishna has stressed this salsangam and association with devotees all the time is important because it is like a shield from the influence of Maya, from Prakriti. Therefore it is spoken. Finally, the chapter concludes.
Vaitasena stadopeva uruvashya lokanuspraha muktasango mahimedam Alma Ramaschacharaha Vaidasena stadopeva Urvashyalokanuspraham Mukta Sango Mahimedam Alma Ramaschacharaha.
He says that Vaidasena tadaha Urvashyalokanuspraha Mukta Sangaha Alma Ramaha Imam Mahim Chacharaha.
Puriravas, afterwards, his desire for seeing Urvashi has gone from inside. One who was crazy about Urvashi, now he is not interested in seeing Urvashi. And not only Urvashi, all other desires have also gone away. And he wandered around in this world at different places as Atma Rama.
Atma Rama means completely fixed in the Atma, in the self. Like many other great rishis and sages.
So, this our Puruvas, due to his salsangam with Gandharvas also, that helped. Salsangam, that he understood that the importance of Krishna consciousness. In other words, he realized the importance of self-realization and Krishna consciousness. And also due to the Gandharvas association, he developed vairagyam in him. Renunciation came up to him. And in due course of time, he started experiencing himself what is self-realization means, knowledge of the self means. That means all these years, he had attachment for Urvashi, which was on a very gross level, is it not? Now he has become subtle and subtle and subtle, and finer inside, and he started experiencing that there is the most finer substance inside Atma. And that happiness he started experiencing, and that is what he is saying here, that in order to experience that, the only opportunity is only through salsangam and through sajjanam. Therefore, never to give up their association and always stay in their association. So Krishna says here that if you get salsangam, you should consider that as a great opportunity, a great profit in life. Because in what form this satsangam will develop, it is very difficult to say. When you will get satsangam. And in what form it will happen, it's very difficult to say. And in satsangam, everyone gets different realizations. Different realizations. So that depends on one's own maturity. How matured you are in spiritually, accordingly your realizations will come in satsangam. So, but you could hear everything from the devotees. In salsangam, you can hear every aspect of that, but the result will be depending on your maturity inside. That you will notice always. In salsangam, you will hear so many things, but the result depends on your spiritual maturity also. How much you have progressed your own way, shastram and your sadhana, all these are contributing factors to it. So, it depends on that. So, therefore, no matter how much knowledge one has got, one should never say that, I don't need salsangam. Because when salsangam is there, what is the advantage is, whatever weaknesses or whatever shortcomings we have, that will be taken out in due course of time and everything will come out okay. Therefore, that talking about the glory of salsangam, Krishna completes this chapter of the Aila Gidam. Aila Gidam finishes there. Aila Gidam finishes there. So you have seen so far what we have spoken about in these last week and today. First, Krishna talked about the Bhikshu Gita. In the last time we had discussed Bhikshu Gita. Whole question came up when Uddhava asked Krishna one important question. What was that? What shall I do in this world when people start insulting you and be acting very rude to you? And Krishna said, there is not much to say about that. You just have to tolerate, he said. When he said that, Uddhava says to Krishna that what you are saying is not really the solution for me as concerned. Because dealing with the people, the haram in this world, and listening to them, when they can be very, very harsh sometimes, and they could make your life extremely difficult by a few words spoken in a harsh way. That's sufficient for the rest of the life, isn't it? Sometimes you can see that when you have association in that level with some people, that they haven't got that, but due to some prarabdham, somebody may turn so rude and cruel that very few words from their mouth is sufficient to put you off in life. So Uddhava said this to Krishna, that is just before the Bhikshu Gita. Uddhava said to Krishna, this is my problem. Because Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Tundu sarvam parityajya, sneham svajane bandushu, mai avesha mana, samyak, samadrik, vijarasugam, walk through this world, he said. Vijarasugam, walk through this world. How? Sarvam parityajya sneham svajane bandushu. Give up all attachment to your so-called family, friends, relations, everything. Mai avesha mana, fix your mind upon me, samyak, continuously, without coming away from that, samadrik, and seeing everyone on an equal level. See all living entities on an equal level. Then, vijarasugam, walk through this earth. He said in the beginning of this chapter. So, Uddhava heard all these things. But Uddhava knows that these things are not so simple, as Krishna has spoken. So that's why, in that 19th chapter, after hearing Krishna about Jnana Vijnana Yogam, that's what was spoken there. Uddhava asked this question to Krishna. Whatever you have spoken so far, the philosophical side of it, everything is glorious, but it's not practical. He said, we are ordinary people in this world. While living in this world, we have to tolerate so much. So many people you have to tolerate here, in so many different ways, isn't it? You have to tolerate all the problems with the government, with the society, with the friends, with wherever, whomever you are doing service, employer, all that, people. Then your own family members. And then who will turn against you when you don't know. So from which angle problems will come, you will never know. Everything, everyone, there are people. And in a situations they can put you into very awkward as well. So Uddhava says to Krishna, with a situation like this around us, material life, how is it possible to keep this mind under control? How can it stay under control? That's what, will I not react to the situation at any time? So Krishna said to Uddhava, you are asking something as though it is impractical. But let me tell you, there is a person who did that and that shows that it is practical. That was Krishna's answer. So you can't say it's not practical. If it was not practical, this person could not have done that. But he has done that in the worst circumstances. The worst thing what can happen in life, what has happened to that Avanti Brahmana, isn't it? So that is how Avanti Brahmana's story was spoken, to prove to Uddhava that Avanti Brahmana properly analyzed the situation well, controlled his mind and escaped from this world. So there Krishna mentioned that mind has to be controlled. There is no other way. You can't have uncontrolled mind and advancing in spiritual path. Self-realization won't happen. After saying all that, he spoke Bhikshu Gita and we saw how Bhikshu controlled this mind. But what discussed in the Bhikshu Gita, isn't it? Bhikshu, nayam janome sugadukha hedu na devadalma grahakarma kala manaparam varana mamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. What Bhikshu had to go through with that cowherd boys,
who threw food, how he was insulted by all the village where he lived, all the wealth was lost, all his comforts has gone in life, wife has left, children have left, everybody left. Everyone turned against him in the village where he lived, and all the wealth has gone, there was no food to eat. This was his situation. Finally, he walks away from there with the bamboo stick in the hand, a torn blanket and a water pot. This was his wealth left behind. He was a crorepati. So much wealth he had. Crores and crores of, millions and millions of gold, so many other wealth in his hands. But everything gone. Everybody turned against him. The king turned against him. The king's agents, means those people who are tax people, they all caught him at that time. There was a big fire in his home. Fire happened. And all the people visited and took whatever they could. The thieves, they exploited. Overall, everything went against him. And then he left the village with this water pot and the torn blanket and the bamboo in the hand. He asked for food. Nobody gave him any food. Why? Because he never gave to anybody. So what you have given will only come back. Otherwise it won't come back. So he had to leave. Went to the next village. The next village people identified who he is. Said, he is the same person who was living in the other village. We won't give him anything. They also avoided him. Though you can imagine, he is walking everywhere. He's not even, he doesn't have a mobile. He doesn't have a modern transport system. He's walking with this blanket and the water pot and the bamboo stick in the hand. Old man as well. He's saying, I can't do anything anymore in this world. Body has become old. Body can't do any work for anybody. It is so weak. No food. And from every village he was thrown out. And finally he reached one riverbank where somebody who didn't know him gave him some food. So he thought he'll keep the food in the riverbank, go and wash his hands and legs and come eat the food. It was then that these cowherd boys who were playing there and tending the cows, they saw this man. Naturally, they saw his condition and they felt like having some fun with him. So what did they do? A group of them came there. One took his blanket away. One took his water pot away. Another one took his bamboo away. And some of them brought some dust and put it in his food so that he couldn't eat them. Imagine he's starving for many days, hasn't had any food. And after long search, he got this little food and that's been also spoiled. Now he can't eat that. Krishna is saying, at that time, this Brahmana has sung a song. Now, normally, will you sing a song in that situation? When you are angry at that time, especially with the food, prasadam is such a thing. It can change your whole nature, isn't it? All the Bhadragali will manifest at that time from inside. The Bhadragali will come out inside, from inside. So what happened? That Brahmana, Krishna says, he didn't get angry. That was his quality. He didn't get angry and he sang a song. And that is that Bhikshu Gita which we discussed. So what did he say there? He said, the whole problem is the mind. I got the control on the mind now. He is saying, I'm not worried. What will happen? I'm not worried because my mind is under control. He did not blame those people, the boys who came and did this through the food. Because he says, whom should I blame? Why should I blame them? Why should I blame my wife and children? Why should I blame the king? Why should I blame anybody in this world? Says the Bhikshu. Brahmana says, why should I blame anybody? My prarabdham has come through all these people back to me. I haven't done anything good. I may not have done anything good. Otherwise this should not have happened. This is how he put it. My prarabdham has come back to me through these different people. I have no hate towards any one of them. That is how Bhikshu Gita Krishna explained to Uddhava. Then Uddhava started thinking, this is a very tough examination, isn't it? If I am put into, because Krishna told Uddhava, walk away from here and go on your own to Badrinath. That means he has to be like this Bhikshu in the same state. Everybody is not going to honor Uddhava. He was prime minister for Krishna. But ordinary people won't bother. Once you have lost a position, you know what it is like. If you lost a minister's job, you come out. You will treat him like an ordinary person. So Uddhava had to go. Uddhava is thinking in his mind, what will happen to him? But it was then that Krishna, Uddhava saying to Krishna, this is a very tough thing, what you have told me to do, to be like that Avanti Brahmana. So it was then that Krishna says to him, it is not like that, Uddhava. Uddhava, there is so many other things to understand. And then he spoke to him about Sankhyam, if that helps. So Sankhyam was spoken. Sankhyam removes this dvaidam from inside. Veda Brahmam will go. And by understanding creation and dissolution or devastation properly, you get freedom from this duality of the world. So escaping from duality is necessary, because otherwise, as long as there is duality inside, we will suffer. Once the duality has gone from inside, you won't have this problem of ragadvesham. Ragadvesham comes from duality. And when there is ragadvesham, you suffer in the mind. That's what Krishna pointed out at that time to Uddhava. And then he said finally that what we can do is that ragadvesham, dvaidam has gone, and then you are free. But that is possible if you understand this Sankhyam, and Sankhya philosophy has spoken. Then later on Krishna spoke about the three modes of material nature. How in the modes of nature we are suffering, three modes of nature. And Krishna explained to us that the different modes of nature, how it influences and how it creates problems. And he very categorically made it clear to Uddhava that unless there is sattva-gunam, there is no hope. You have to suffer. There is no choice at all. Rajogunam and tamogunam will not help in spiritual life. So therefore he stressed about sattva-gunam and finally told Uddhava, Uddhava, even if in sattva-gunam, unless it builds up strongly, bhakti won't develop. So you can't stop with sattva-gunam. Bhakti has to develop after that. And only then you will escape from here. So another way Krishna put the whole proposal to Uddhava. Finally, Krishna said to him that then all these things what I have spoken, whether it is Bhikshugita or the Sankhyam or the Gunatrayam, three modes of material nature, all of them on its own are good, but much easier than all that is this last chapter, which is Salsangam. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, if nothing is possible, there are some people in this world, if you observe them clearly, you will know it, that they live their life simply in Salsangam, all the time. Maintain somehow or the other with very limited way, manage their life. After all, in places like in India, you don't need so much to live the life, isn't it? Some food to eat and a place to lie down. And they keep their limited life in the limited way, maintain the body in that way, and looking for Salsangam all the time, hearing Bhagavatam day after day after day, one saptaham after another saptaham. 1 7 days they have seen, the next 7 days you will see them again there. And they will keep on attack of very samsaham, Bhagavatam going on, constantly absorbing in Bhagavatam. That is the easiest process, because they know that it can easy to talk about Bhikshugita, easy to talk about Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, easy to talk about Sankhyam. But when it comes to practice, ordinary people will find it very, very hard. The only option for them is this Salsangam. Only option is Salsangam. After saying this, there is one more option Krishna is saying. That is Kriya Yoga. That is the next chapter, which we will discuss tomorrow. So let's have some care.